across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
Thank you. He's gone at last. Excellent stuff. Evening, this is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. It's going to be a little bit different tonight. It might work. It might be a car crash. I don't know. It's going to be 3 hours of me sitting here in the radio. Anyone can call in tonight. Yesterday was new callers only. Today, anybody can call in. 0844 499 1000. Call in now. We'll call you back and we'll speak to you after the latest news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you want to join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel light, that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow, the whole world is my home. So if you want to join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel light, that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow, I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. The world is waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there and we've paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you want to join me, grab your hat, come travel light, that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home. Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roam.
Oh, I tell you why. Put the microphones on. Do you know what? I'm glad that they told me the connection was rubbish, because I was doing that on my 3G. I was streaming that on my 3G, flipping it. That could have cost me an absolute fortune.
Yeah, you're wasting your data.
My data's going to be... And the thing is, I'm on GIFGAF. So I get a... Hang on, let me just type in my password. Talk Sport. I'm limited data that I get. And if I go over it, I have to top up.
Right.
I haven't had to top up for years, but I thought... I'm going to do that. I'm going to go on the top up to be a little bit responsible. 0844 499 1000. This is Ian. This is Talk Radio. James Buckley is joining me in the studio. You're here for the whole show.
I am, yeah.
If you want to be.
No, yeah, I'm here for the long haul.
But and sometimes it really does feel like a long haul slog. If I'm completely honest, I'm still trying to get this blooming thing going. Hang on a second. Oh, I've got to turn the Wi-Fi on. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. And you're here. Not to be like a guest or anything, just because you just wanted to come and hang out.
Just a fan of the show. That's it.
Why?
I should have just sat in the other room, in the booth, and just watched you do your thing.
You can go in there at any point and watch Kath and Ed do their thing. By the way, if anyone wants to call in and just join in, 0844 499 1000. I'm a little bit out of breath because I told you I'm eating too much at the moment. Sorry, I'm just trying to sort out this bloody internet thing. The internet here is absolutely awful.
Did you turn your Wi-Fi off because... In London, you just keep connecting to different Wi-Fis. I turn my Wi-Fi off when I'm in London.
Yeah.
Because it just ends up being on some sort of cloud or BT.
Because I'm not
like
registered
that.
With any of those things.
Well, no, I'm not neither, but they still try and connect me to them.
Oh, yeah, they do. And on the underground, it does it as well. No, I'm not. The reason I turned it off, and now I can't get on again, is, and I will do it, I need to copy this. Hang on, select all, copy. We'll start the show properly in a minute. This is the joy of doing this. Is because if I want to access my Ian at Ian Lee emails, I can't do it on the Wi-Fi here for some reason. The Wi-Fi here blocks it. Do you know what I'm going to do? Is I'm going to switch my phone off and start again. That's what we'll do. Something's happening. What does it mean when you get two little arrows going round in a circle? What does that mean at the next to the 3G?
That's the symbol for syncing. Is it connected to your computer?
Yes, it is. Yeah, don't sync. Oh, don't sync. That's all we need. I'm going to say it. For those who don't know, you're in the in-betweeners. And then we've said it. And that's all That's all we have to mention it, if you want. We don't even need to mention the I word.
Well, that might...
Again.
I assume that's what most people will know me from.
But exactly. So we don't...
I can't blame them for that.
So, well, you can do.
Maybe I will. I'll start.
But that's what most people will know you for.
Yeah.
But I'm imagining that's what all of... I mean, this isn't an interview, but we're going to have a chat.
Sure.
And we only just met half an hour ago, so this is, you know... But I imagine that every interview you've ever done has been... So what's it like being Jay in the in-betweeners? That's got to be every interview,
isn't it? Pretty much, yeah. Luckily enough, I've always had three other idiots to do most of the in-betweeners interviews with.
Yeah. I am listening. I'm just trying to sort this out.
But there was... After sort of three series and two movies... So whenever series comes out, you have to do a load of PR for that to say the series is out. Yeah. Then the DVD will come out. Then you have to do all that. So basically, I've done that, you know, five times. And ever since we started the in-betweeners to the very last interview, the question was always, which one of you are more like your character in real life?
Yeah, you go. You see, exactly. There's no original. There we go, we're back on the Periscope. There's no original questions that can be asked about it.
There isn't really, yeah. I can't have a go at people for that.
I wonder if I could think of an original one. But, I mean, do you want to talk about it or not?
I don't mind. For me, it's not interesting, but I don't care about me. If you are interested, or if anyone listening is interested...
Well, if people want to phone in, they can. But it also, I put off... 0844-499-1000, by the way. I put off watching The In-Betweeners for years.
Yeah.
Because, shall I tell you why?
Yeah,
yes, I shall. I will. Because it was made... We have friends in common. We've never met, but we have or people that we've worked with in common. And Ian Morris and Damon Beasley, who made the In-Betweeners, who kind of wrote it. They wrote all of it, didn't they?
Yeah.
I worked with them...
They directed the last film as well.
I know. Quid's in, isn't it?
They're coining it,
yeah. I got Ian Morris helped me out with a gig I was doing a couple of years ago in this room above pub, and I said, Ian, I'll be honest, we're not making any money. I can give you 25 quid. And he went, no, you don't have to. I said, no, seriously, we want to make sure everyone gets paid. I can give you 25 quid. He said, okay, well, I'll give it to the guy that looks after my pool. And I thought, and then I opened Time Out and I saw the takings for the In-Betweeners movie.
Made a lot of money. Yeah.
He was not joking. He was literally going to give that to the guy that was cleaning his pool.
Yeah, I've been in his house in Los Feliz.
Wow. The reason I didn't watch it is because for years after the 11 o'clock show, which is where I worked with Ian and Damon, for years after doing that, I was really resentful of anybody else. I was resentful because I was perhaps after the Tea Lady was the least successful person to come from that in terms of, you know, you had Gervais and Sasha and Mackenzie and Dom Jolly and Charlie Brooker and Paul Garner and some loser called Alex Lowe. And then the production team went off and did stuff. And so for years, and even though I got on with Ian and Damon really, really well, you know, I couldn't watch anything that was made by someone who I considered to be a peer and had gone on to greater success than me. Does that make sense?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, they were runners and VT producers and stuff on the 11 o'clock show, and you were the big man.
I was the big man,
yeah.
And that ended terribly.
And especially if it's Ian Morris as well. That's no one will know him personally. But to see a man like that do well, it does make you question reality and life.
Ian Morris. And I'm fine now with my people doing better than me generally. I still get a little bit. Do you get a little bit when you see people that you've worked with going off and doing better? And it's not, I don't mean it in a nasty way.
No, not at all. No, I guess it's sort of, it may be somewhat natural. I've sort of... Well, I got married and had kids.
All right.
And that became my favourite thing to do.
Yeah.
And I'm still quite young.
How many times have you been married?
Just
that one.
Just
was
the once. Yeah.
The one.
But having kids, just being with them, is the best thing. Just being in my house. Like, I love being in my house so much.
That wears off, though.
It hasn't.
How old are your kids?
4 and 2.
Yeah, it'll wear off.
No, it'll get better.
Do you think?
Yeah, because. As much as I love being with them and stuff, they're starting to go to proper school now.
Yeah.
So the days are free as well to get some proper PlayStation in. Do you know what I mean?
Why are you PlayStation? You should be Xbox.
You're having a laugh, Ian.
Oh, come on, man. Don't do this to me.
I've got an Xbox. Here's a true story. I did a job for Microsoft, who are great, and...
I think they are as well, if they want to...
They gave me an Xbox One. Yeah. I set it up, and I was like, oh, this is a bit...
No, it's good.
I phoned up my mate. I went, I've got the new Xbox One. Yeah. Shall I bring it round? He was like, yeah, sure. I brought it round. We set it up at his. It took forever to set up.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
You plug it in to the wall.
No, no, no.
You plug it into the telly. You turn it on. You play some
wicked
games.
There's some daft interface that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it
it's all over the place.
Makes much more sense than the play. We're going to get very geeky. It makes much more sense than that awful PlayStation.
Anyway, it's also massive, and there's a big power pack that comes with it.
Yes, that's true.
I said to my mate, I tell you what, I'll leave it here with you. You can have fun with it and stuff. Yeah. Thinking I was doing him a favour, like he'll go, oh yeah, an Xbox One, brilliant.
Yeah.
He went, no, you're all right, mate. No, you can take that with you. Yeah.
So it's
and we're in. He's my big gamer friend. Big gamer friend.
Okay, I'm glad you cleared that up. Although these days, because I've got a PlayStation 3, but that's in the airing cupboard.
Right.
And isn't it funny, right?
I'll find a picture of my office. It's a setup. It's got Master System, Sega, and Mega Drive, and SNES.
The old games.
Atari 2600. A Woody.
Yeah. Have you heard the Atari 2600 song? We'll see if we can find it. I had all those old... By the way, we're literally just going to sit here talking like this for 3 hours, which I'm more than happy to do.
Yeah.
If you want to call in... And this is the thing I've noticed, James, when people are scared to call in when the feng shui of the show...
That's what I was worried about, to be honest. Because I am a fan of the show and I didn't want to derail... any kind of the special ambiance.
Well, that's it, the ambiance. you won't spoil it. It'll just be different.
Yeah,
man, it'll just be different. I can't find the Atari 2600 song. It basically goes, Atari 2600.
Like a radio jingle.
Yeah, but it's like a pop song. It's longer than that.
Right, okay.
Well, I say I can't find it. I've just typed into YouTube Atari 2600 song. Atari 2600. And that's it.
When was the
80s?
80s, yeah. See, I was born in 87. So you're probably thinking But you're probably thinking,
born... The funniest thing I ever saw Basil Brush say, right, was years ago. I know. It was years ago. I was presenting a breakfast show on TV called Rise that no one watched, but I was immensely proud of. And we had these women on, and Basil Brush was on, and Basil went, so, how old are you? Where were you born? And the girl went, I was born in 1986. And Basil Brush said, what, people were actually born in the 80s? And that's how I feel now.
Right.
That people, because for me... You're a young man.
Yeah.
You're an attractive, powerful young man.
Exactly. Yeah, the world is my oyster.
Yeah.
But you'd probably say, why do you have nostalgic memories of the Atari? Or the ZX Spectrum?
Do you want me to say that?
No, because I've said it for you.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to clear this up.
Yeah, let's clear the air.
For the listener.
Clear the air.
I'm trying to be a radio presenter here, Ian. Can you tell? But what it was that... But, like, my family were poor, basically, and so I always had the old console when something would come out, which, you know, in the end, ended up meaning that I had a really great appreciation for video games.
I have to do a boring thing and play some adverts.
Do
I say play, I give out the phone number, then I point to the New Zealand gentleman through their head and he plays the adverts. They don't trust me. These don't do anything. If you want to give us a call, James is here all night. You can talk to him about anything. You can join in the conversation. Oh, I wrote something down. Oh, yeah. I need to talk to you about shampoo in a minute.
Great.
0844 499 1000.
Late night Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Put these up. This might be the song. Hang on a second. Why won't this... Oh, flipping computers, isn't it? What? Here we go. This might be it. This might be the Atari 2600 song, James.
Okay.
Kid in my whole school. It might be, but I don't know.
Doesn't get to see movies rated R.
Either way, it's a great song.
So it's close but no cigar.
Here it comes.
This might be your last opportunity.
Here it comes.
To do at least one thing right by me. There's only one thing that I want. There's only one thing that I want.
I don't think this is it.
It doesn't sound like the campaign for Atari.
I'm going to skip forward a bit. Hang on.
It's definitely not it. Yeah.
I want them to go... If they don't go Atari 2600, it's not it. There we go. Last bit. There we go. The ending. Daniel sent me that on Twitter. Delete your account, mate. Delete your account for sending me that.
You're wasting internet.
That is precious radio time. The ads on talk radio cost an absolute fortune, unless you're a potential advertiser, in which case I'm sure we can work out a reasonable deal, I should probably say.
Yeah.
But that is still very, very valuable time that you've wasted, Daniel. Delete your account immediately. 0844 499 1000. James Buckley is here. Let's speak to Gatford, has called in. Good evening, Gatford.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, James.
Don't stop doing the posh voice just because we've got an actor here.
That's not posh, that's all you.
Could you do Shakespeare?
Could I do Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Probably. I personally find Shakespeare very, very boring.
Isn't he?
Hang on, Gatford, I'm talking... No, I thought you were asking me if I could do Shakespeare.
No, I wasn't. Obviously, I was asking the actor.
The actor, so...
Okay, well, carry on.
I don't think it was very well advertised to me when I was at school.
Yeah.
They didn't reach out and grab me. It felt like a real chore.
Well, you were lucky. If you grew up in the 70s, a lot of teachers would have reached out and actually grabbed you.
That
was the 70s. My English teacher was a delightful woman, and I can say this, Mrs. Routledge.
Sounds great.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a lady. Let's just say, what a lady. And still, you know, I mean, she's going to be in her mid-60s now, but Joan Collins is
really?
Hot, and she's 89. Hmm. Well, you don't even know how old she was to start with. Now, I am talking to you. I'm pointing at you, Gatford.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
We can do hot teachers.
That'd be good.
She was, you know, she was a very delightful woman. And she was a brilliant teacher as well, so it was like... Beauty, no, not *Ant and the Beast*. Brains and beauty,
sure,
combined.
My younger sister's teacher had nice legs.
It's a bit weird, mate. Yes, Gafford, you're through to the James Buckley hotline, sir. What toys would you like to swap with him?
Well, he's a Atari 2600 because I haven't got mine anymore. If that's okay,
I got rid of all my retro games. I had the SNES. I had the Mega Drive. I had a BBC Model B, but with a hard drive installed. I had all of that stuff, and I gave them away.
I've still got the Spectrum, but not the Amiga.
Yeah,
so.
I gave it away. The only thing I kept is the Vectrex.
Okay,
you were the Vectrex.
I've got. I do have a spare 2600, but it's not a Woody. It's not on.
Is this the metal one?
It's just black.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Well, I'm saying I'll give it away.
Don't you can't. He's not picked up on that.
Make up a competition, yeah. No, but the thing was, did you ever try and recreate the games in real life?
Oh, we had... Yeah, that is an excellent idea. We had a variation of Space Invaders at school where it was like dodgeball, but there was like a brick wall in the middle of the playground.
Right.
And everybody had to walk up and down it doing the Space Invader thing and go...
right. And they had to do that. And then there was one kid that would run across and be the spaceship.
Yeah.
And you had the tennis ball, and you had to lob it at them as hard as you could. And if you hit them, then they would come and join you till there was just one kid going, and you're all lobbing tennis balls at him.
We did a version of Frogger at school.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the school
there gate. Was similar, like, you know, you would, like, several people go one direction, you have to try and get in a gap and not get hit.
Frogger.
And move on.
Why does Frogger get such a good rap? It's such a boring game.
I think Pac-Man's boring as well.
Whoa. Now, isn't that interesting you say that? Because my little boy, he's got a canner.
Kids love it's on the. You can get Pac-Man on your iPhone and iPad and stuff.
Whoa,
my kids like Pac-Man.
Have you seen the Kano computers?
No,
they're brilliant, right? It's like a little computer, and you get it. It's in a kit, and you build it. You plug some bits in, and it's for kids. And they learn coding, right? But they don't know that they're learning coding because they're just playing Pong, Snake, and Pac-Man. And my little boy phoned me up the other day. He said, "Dad, I'm a bit stuck." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "My homework." I said, "Oh yeah, what's your homework?" He said, "I'm playing Pac-Man."
Because he's stuck on Snake.
And I said, "I don't think that technically avoiding those ghosts. What were the ghosts called? Inky?
Inky. Bonky.
Come on, Gafford. Respect.
My kids watch the cartoon on Netflix as well, and I should know the names of the
Inky?
All the characters.
I'm going to say Inky, Blinky, Winky, Pinky, and then there was one that wasn't didn't rhyme. It was like
there's only four, wasn't there?
Five.
Five,
he's right.
Inky?
It's like the Seven Dwarfs, you know, get all the names after things and then Doc.
Yeah, the last one's like Guff or something.
Right.
Trump. Yeah. Or something like that. Hang on, Rob?
Yo.
What's the other ghost called in Pac-Man?
Stefan.
That's it, Stefan. Thank you, Robbie. Back to you in a second. Yes, what would you like to say?
How does he know that?
What would you like to say, Getford?
Well, the 2600 conversation, like, what games have you, you know, played in real life?
Okay, well, should I cut you off?
Reacted in real life. No, one second.
Here we go. He said no, he wanted to stay on. I do apologise. 08444991000.
Yeah, see, well, I was still at school when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out.
Sorry. To me, man. Jeez.
To reenact the things that go on in that game, you'd be in prison.
Hang on a second. This might be the song. Hang on a second. Hang on a second.
The fun is back! Oh, yes, siree. It's the 2600 from Atari.
No, that's not it. Yes, Rob.
That was good, though.
Nick G, delete your account. Yes, Rob.
Hey, how you doing, James? You all right, fella?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, LBC busy tonight, yeah?
Well, no, I was supposed to go and talk football with Goldstein and his Cundy. Does Cundy still do it?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let down.
There's a name. Anyway, yes, Rob.
You know you're a big celebrity now, James. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, all right, of course.
I'm hovering over the dump button. This is my dump button,
you're
by
right.
The way.
You're right. At home, right, do you use quilted, dry or wet wipes?
So I've got children, I've got kids.
Yeah.
And that was when I rediscovered the wet wipe. And I'm not ashamed to say that it's handy to have by the toilet.
For toilet activities, you use a wet wipe. I never got that. That's very continental.
I use both. I don't go straight in with a wet wipe.
You've changed.
Sometimes you need to have a...
You've changed. Since you became a big star and stuff. Why, Rob, what do you prefer?
Well, you go dry and then you go wet, I think.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then another dry one just to finish off.
That's it. High five, wet wipe brothers.
All right. Well, that's great. That's
a new sitcom.
That's
right there.
That's it, yeah.
That's a great call, Rob. One of your best.
Peace out.
Thanks very much indeed. You see, they're all the regulars are lined up. We'll get these out
of
the way.
Good on them.
Yes, Kyle.
Oh, evening, James.
Hello.
I've got several of the old consoles. Sorry, it's probably a bit dull. I just wondered what your favourite SNES game was, because I've been playing loads of them on my Retron thing.
Zombies Ate My Neighbours was always good fun. I think one of my favourite games, not just on the SNES platform, is A Link to the Past Zelda. I think
absolutely
it's one. I know it's an obvious one as well, but it's... I've got a mint condition.
Now we're getting geeky here. when you start, you would have loved my collection. I gave it away. I put it on Gumtree and gave it away. When you start collecting the mint conditions, still in the boxes, sealed, that's when you know that you've got a serious problem with the whole thing, don't you?
And my wife is listening on Periscope as well, so I won't admit to how much I paid for it on eBay.
I'm going
to
say £250.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a three-figure, but I mean...
£99.
you're £9 off.
I'm wearing a Monkees t-shirt now, Periscope fans, and I've managed to curb my buying. I say that I bought the on Record Store Day in America. They released the 3,000 limited edition box set of 10 LPs, which I've bought. And along with postage charges, I might as well have just flown over there and bought it myself. But I bought a single. I bought the most expensive record. I bought two records. One was an album, the mono version of The Birds, the Bees and the Monkees. The mono version is different. There's only a few copies. $600. $600.
Dollars? That's not too bad.
That's not too bad. And then I bought a single that I think was £400.
Right. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. And if my wife doesn't listen to this, she doesn't know I do a radio show. Yeah. She thinks I'm asleep upstairs. Okay. I sneak out the window with bed sheets. Right. Tying them up. But if she were ever to know this, then that would actually be the end of my marriage.
It's difficult to explain to someone else what's important to you, though.
Yeah.
You know.
She thinks that feeding the children is more important than that. And I'm
quite lucky in that my kids are so fussy, they hardly eat anything that's put down in front of them.
Saving your money.
So I've just decided to stop.
Saving your money. We're going to take a quick break. 0844 499 1000.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
But you'll never guess. Hey, you'll never guess who's watching us on Periscope. This won't mean anything to you, and it should do. It's only Britain's... Catherine, who is the best person... I want you to come in and shout. In fact, you can come and join us if you want, Catherine. 0844 499 1000. Because I'm aware that there is a danger of this becoming a little bit too blokey.
Geeky.
You're geeking out here.
You never guess who's listening to us. Who is Britain's best radio presenter?
Am I supposed to say... No. Am I supposed to be honest?
That's the correct answer. But who's
Lisa Tarbuck.
Who is actually the best phone-in radio host in the country?
Well, there's two. It's Nick Abbott, James O'Brien.
Nick's watching.
No, he's not.
Hello, Nick.
Flipping heck.
I'm humbled and honoured. How do we get him over here? He'd be great over here, wouldn't he?
Can we call him something else?
Have you listened to Nick Abbott?
No.
Love it.
Oh, I can't have this conversation on air.
No.
I'll tell you what you can. Yes, you can. Friday nights, when I'm on, you have permission to listen to him on LBC 10 till 1. Because he's brilliant.
Are you talking to just me?
Just you.
Okay.
The other suckers have to stick with me. But honestly, and that's never happened on radio before. Someone telling someone to go and listen to someone else when they're on. I'm getting loads of... we'll have a little bit of a geek out.
Yes.
Which Master System do you have, says Lord Early?
It's a Master System 2. I don't have the Master System 1. If you go to America and try and talk about the Master System to anyone in America, they don't have a clue what you're talking about.
No.
It's the one with Alex Kidd built in.
No, because Nintendo ruled. Ruled the waves over there. Yeah. And Nintendo killed Atari.
I've got a Wii.
Well, you can nip out if you want. still, how long has that machine been out? 10, 12 years, and we're still getting those games.
Yeah, I've had five goes.
The Wii is rubbish.
Yeah.
We
talk about the Wii in the in-betweeners. There's a bit where we say it's for girls.
It is. I only got it for the singing game.
I met the bloke that invented Pac-Man.
Okay.
He's a fruitcake.
Yes, I think I've seen him in interviews and stuff.
He's a fruitcake. I mean, he is...
The good kind.
I think that, is it Namco, whoever owns Namco now, maybe Namco still own Namco, I think they just keep him in a box, and whenever a Western film crew wants to make a documentary about Pac-Man,
right,
they wheel him out and he spouts the rubbish about, it's all in Japanese obviously, so you're trusting the translator, and it's all about, I was having a pizza, and I cut a slice, and I was looked down and I went, oh, Pokemon!
Don't do the voice.
No, that is actually a brilliant impression, oh, Pokemon! And do you know what it's called in Japan?
Oh, it's going to be something English, isn't it? It's going to be...
No.
E.T.
Puckman. And why did they change it when it came to America?
Because a puck is what you play in...
No, because people were using black marker pens to turn the P into an F.
The pesky...
Don't say it. Yeah. Exactly. A Puckman. A Puckman. And you said to him, why do you think that it's universal? Pac-Man was one of the first universal games that men and women enjoyed. Because women, it is designed for women. They're like I probably should actually, because he was saying it in Japanese. He said it's designed for women.
They do talk more like that.
No, stop it.
That's respectful, though. That is actually the opposite.
That's my best Japanese accent.
The opposite, both a bit Mickey Rooney, to be honest.
What's the opposite of racism? Because that's what that was, the opposite of racism.
Positive. discrimination.
You're positively discriminating against the
Were you being authentic? I don't think you can be authentic anymore if you're not.
Where's Ed gone? Come on, mate. You're not having your supper. Come on, mate. No time for it. No, there's a phone. Get Elizabeth. Come on, mate. Come on, focus. Focus! Is he wearing an 8-bit... No, it looks like an 8-bit thing. And they said it's for men and women.
Because they made Miss Pac-Man with a bow.
Because women like shopping and eating.
Wow.
And that's what Pac-Man does, is he's going around eating all the time.
Yeah, it's basically my life, apparently.
Doesn't do any shopping, though.
Steals.
Yeah.
He's a shoplifter.
Oh, hang on. This might be the song. People are sending in different versions of what may be the Atari 2600 song.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Atari Corporation is proud to introduce to you our newest spokespeople, Robert Diggs.
Hang on a minute. Hang on. 2600. No, it's not. It goes, Atari 2600. Atari 2600.
Okay, well, that... If anyone knows anything that sounds like that, send that. Don't send some jazz, some Atari jazz our way.
It's like Shaft.
The problem with a lot of those retro games is, though, that they don't live. They aren't as good as we remember.
Yeah, I tried to play. I used to play a Smurfs game on the Atari.
Wow!
And when I was playing it when I was like 4 years old, I thought it was the best thing ever.
You would, yeah.
And it was really, really difficult.
Yeah.
So. Over the last, maybe like a couple of years ago or something. Well, recent history.
The time is not, we don't need to know the exact time. Recently is adequate
recently.
For an anecdote.
I just thought, I'll go back and complete that.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm trying to do with my life at the moment.
Complete
I'm going,
Smurfs.
I'm going back completing games.
Well, you're Arrested Development. Yeah, of course you are.
Yeah.
You got a bit of money. When I got a bit of money, I bought all the stuff that I couldn't get as a kid.
Yeah.
And then I sat there crying.
Loads of toys.
What's that? Go on, Cass's going to make a rude joke about
me. No, a mate of mine, Stu... I'm not going to name him, decided that he'd go back and buy himself like a gaming chair to play his driving games.
Yeah, yeah, right? Vibrates and stuff.
He went to Argos and bought one that was like a kind of Wendy House thing, like a frame.
Yeah.
And he got it home, put it together and realised it was for like age 7 and up.
You couldn't fit in it.
So he took it back and said, can I bring this back, please? My gran bought it for me. She must think I'm a kid.
Yeah.
And they went, we'll need the card that it was bought on to give you the refund. Sheepishly reaches into his back pocket and has to come clean that he bought himself.
Elizabeth, ever bought yourself children's toys?
I've got me Mega Drive in my dad's wardrobe, and I've got Bubsy the Bobcat, Home Alone, the games.
Home Alone's good.
Desert Strike.
Yeah, that's good.
Desert Strike is good. Home Alone wasn't very good.
Yes, it was. You got to stop them from flooding the houses. It was brilliant.
It wasn't
set up
that
little
good.
Traps.
It wasn't that good.
It's good.
I've got loads of kids' toys here. I've got building blocks and Play-Doh and everything.
All right, Play-Doh.
Okay, that's a bit much. That'll be dried out by now, won't it?
I love a good...
My kids did within 2 weeks.
Things that you're not meant to sniff, but you like sniffing, Play-Doh.
You can get perfume of the Play-Doh smell.
Say that again, Elizabeth.
You can get perfume of the Play-Doh smell.
If any woman... let me rephrase that. I would find that attractive. I'm just going to... Because I was going to say if any woman was wearing that, I would be all over her. Then I realised, A, that's inappropriate. B, didn't say what age. I said woman, actually, so it wouldn't be a child. And C, what kind of woman would wear that, though? So, no, actually, I'm not interested, Elizabeth. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to say no to that. But thanks for the offer.
It's all right.
You're welcome. What other things can you smell that you shouldn't? Marker pens?
Yeah.
Steady?
Marker pens.
You're a whiteboard marker.
I like the smell of petrol. At the petrol station.
Petrol. Elizabeth said that just after you.
Something nice.
Do you know what I like?
Go on.
Creosote.
If my sister's listening in New Zealand, sister, can you... Joe, what's the word? There's a word for the smell of wet tarmac...
I know.
...after a rain. Go on. It begins with a P.
Petrichor.
Petrichor. Petrichor. Mm. Petrichor is my favourite smell.
Wood smoke.
We're dangerously close to doing a phone-in topic. Back away from the topic.
Now, 70 sweets.
Yes, Elizabeth.
Not
genuinely thrilled if Nick Abbott's watching us, by the way.
Is it the real one? Because there was one on yesterday, Stirring.
Oh, maybe it's not. I'll have a look. Hang on. Go on. Yes, go on. I'm looking on Twitter. You go on.
Oh, no, so I just fancied a bit of a chat. You said anyone could phone in, and I just thought, why not? I've got nothing to lose. There's nothing on telly, is there, so...
Well, what do you want to talk about?
You probably cut me off now, but did you listen to my podcast?
No.
I did.
Thanks, Cass. I knew Ian wouldn't. He's all lies. He's all talk.
No, I tend not to listen to links that I get sent.
That's fine.
It's not the real Nick Abbott, so up yours. Fake Nick. So don't listen to his rubbish show at the weekend. Awful show.
That's not Nick. That's not his actual fault, though, is it?
No, yeah, in a way, it is. Yeah.
In many ways, it is. He condones that sort of behaviour by breathing. So don't listen to that that rubbish at the weekend. It's terrible.
Elizabeth, I really liked it, and I like that fella as well. He made me laugh too.
Thanks, Cass. That means a lot.
What's your podcast about?
Oh, don't,
no,
is don't, there sorry. You when you got in touch at all? Can I come and sit in on the show? And you said I can be a bit nastier to the callers than I can
yeah.
be.
Well, no, not nastier. I just
but
feel
now
that...
you said you want to. You're pretending.
No, what
to
I said
podcast.
To you is that I feel like sometimes you don't satisfy my appetite with the listener because there's maybe one or two more questions
wow.
that I want to ask.
Okay,
wow.
well then away you go, Elizabeth is yours.
Just but yeah, mainly the questions I want to ask is what's your deal? What are you about? That's the question that I really wanted to get to some of your callers. But no, what's your podcast about?
Just about life, because I do stand up and I thought I'd might as well do a podcast because okay. everybody else has got one, so I thought right. why not? So me and my friends, we're both actors and comedians, we both do a podcast.
You say stand up, but it sounded like you were lounging around in your bedroom, which...
That's exactly what we were doing, yeah. Cass, how did you know?
Well, you just painted a picture. And your bedroom's full of, like, toys and that, isn't it?
I mean,
the
Kitty
children's
mainly.
Toys.
Hello Kitty and Jimmy Choo perfume.
There you go, what a picture.
That's weird. The worst thing, I mean, now thank goodness I'm married, so I never have to endure this again. But the worst thing is when you go back to a... Do you want a drink or something?
Oh, it's yeah, I've got some water, look, but I will so take some
show
more.
The... You've got a tiny little bit, and you look very dry then, James.
I'm quite thirsty. I had a...
Ed went out to get some more.
I had a double
and then he ends up taking a phone call.
Sidetracked.
James Buckley is here, by the way. I should... This voice, if you're wondering. That when you go back to a girl's house and you're thinking, yeah, do you know what? This could be special. And you go into the room and it's just full of, like, dollies or teddies or something like that. That is messed up, isn't it?
I went back to someone's house and he had a lizard.
Wow.
Do you know what? I bet he's got a lizard. Hang on a second. Russ?
Have you got
Hello.
A gecko?
You strike me as the type that would have lizards.
I used to have an iguana.
Thank you very much indeed. I could just tell. And do you know what? Why, Russ? And I'm going to say this with respect. It is because, and you'll take this the way it's intended, I hope, it's because you sound like a deviant. Of the sexual variety.
I'm sure my missus would agree.
Your cough, your laugh is getting a touch of the Farage about it as well.
That laugh is raunchy.
Hello, Elizabeth. I've got a bit of just getting over a bad chest.
Okay, well, get over the smokes, mate. Stop smoking bad chest. Go on.
I know.
Make your own jokes at home, guys.
I'm so chuffed tonight to call in and be able to say hello to James.
Hello,
James.
Mate. Hello, yeah. You all right?
Yeah, sound cheers, mate. I'm a big admirer of you and your three of the comrades.
Not you, then.
Right.
Who's your favourite? Out of all the in-betweeners, who is your favourite? And be honest.
I do particularly like Will's character.
Oh,
the
God,
character
that
Will.
He's the most annoying.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's why I like him.
Now, I don't know any of their names. Which one is Will? Because I don't know...
Will's the little one with glasses.
Briefcase.
The geek.
Okay, yeah.
Who's loosely based on Ian Morris.
Yeah.
character.
Who's your least favourite? And this is a cruel game to play, but we're not going to shy away.
No,
I'm being honest. I can't pick. There's definitely not a least favourite character.
There has to be. You can't say I love them all, but one is my favourite. There has to be one that when they come on, you think, oh, now's a good time to go for a wee.
No, because I can see a bit. I mean, I've got from my youth, I've got mates. I've got probably got two mates who've got a bit of Will in them.
Hey, cheeky.
Hey.
They might also have a bit of James.
Go on.
I've got James's character's name now.
Jay.
But James.
Yeah. Cheeky.
Do you know what I mean? But there's just. I mean, I think it's the same for everybody. There's something there that. Well, what's up, Ian? I can see on Periscope you're in pain or something.
No, I'm listening to you. I'm trying not to dominate the conversation. I'm aware, also acutely aware of the mechanics. We've got a break coming up. We're late for a break, and that's fine. We'll get there in a bit. But so I'm doing the mechanics of the show, and I'm just, you know, I'm just sitting back and I'm enjoying listening to you lot witter on.
Well, I would say that I prefer the first movie to the second one.
All right, if we're going to have... I tell you what, stay there, because we are going to go to break, and we'll have... We will have this conversation, I think.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'm rubbing my ribs. She's okay. Rub 'em. Get 'em in. Rub 'em. Ribs.
Okay. That someone decided to phone that up and leave that as a message on the answer.
See, I didn't hear that because I didn't listen to the last night's show. I've only been listening to the podcast.
Last night's was very funny. It was new callers only. It was very funny, actually. I mean, we had some really good stuff, and there was a guy called Larry from Bushy called in, who was hilarious. But your missus doesn't listen to the show.
No.
And you tried to get the show. They were still there, Elizabeth and Russ. Don't worry, I've not forgotten about you.
We caught the show live
on Friday,
and you were talking to Mr. What's his name?
Mr. Ethical.
Ethical. Yeah.
Friday was a tough show to try and get someone into what the show
is.
Like tonight, like there'll be a couple tonight, and the bloke's going, no, I'm sure he's going to kick this bloke out in a bit, and it'll be lunatics phoning in. Honestly, stick with it. Honestly, he's got a reason for it. But did she enjoy it?
Well, no, that was it, because my wife was just like, this all sounds a bit heavy, and he was talking about the banks, so I couldn't really understand what he was saying, which was the problem.
No.
And my wife thought that I was maybe getting involved in some sort of political talk show. And I was like, no, like this, I was trying to explain. It was late, obviously.
I sometimes go and do talks at schools and stuff and colleges about working in radio, right? And I do it for free. And before Christmas, I went up to, I think it was before Christmas, it was up near Mansfield somewhere, I can't remember where, and it was primary school, it was 10-year-olds, it's 10-year-old kids, right, we're going to do a podcast, going to do their own podcast, it's coming soon, and when they've done it, they're going to send it to me, and we might even play some of it on the radio, if it's any good. And so I gave this little talk about working in radio, and what I like to do, and how I like to, you know, work things, and what I think is interesting, and what I don't think is interesting. I said, right, we got any questions?
Have you ever met Beyonce?
No. There was like, who's the worst person you've interviewed and stuff. And they don't know who Daniel Bedingfield is, so it's a pointless story.
Not many people do.
The first question, this kid put his hand up and went, yeah, go on, what's your question? He said, what do you know about the Illuminati? He was 10 years old!
Good.
I said, well, why don't you tell me what you know? And he said, well, that they are a secret organisation that run the world, and their symbols are on all the money in America. Do you think that'll be interesting in a podcast? I said, yes, coming from a 10-year-old, that would be flipping awesome in a podcast.
Yeah.
10-year-olds talking about conspiracy theories. That'd be good, wouldn't it, Elizabeth?
That'd be fantastic.
I'd have some of that. When they make it, I'll have a little listen. If there's anything worth playing on the radio, it will get played on the radio. Russ, what was your point you wanted to make?
As you went to the ads, I mentioned that I preferred the... number one movie out of
that's
the second
right.
one.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bit harsh, I thought. A bit cruel.
No, it's fair enough. I prefer the second one.
I prefer it.
I think you got to go on your jollies around Australia.
Yeah, that was pretty much
You say that. I've been to Australia briefly. I was there for 4 days. I wouldn't want to go there again.
Whoa, I spent 2 months there, and it's one of my favourite places.
You remind me of someone, and it just clicked to you remind me
oh,
of.
God.
No, it's a nice thing. I'll tell you in a second. Genuinely, it's one of my best friends, and just the way you went war was like, oh, that's funny. But it's just so far away. I suppose
that's the show. Like, if I could go there for 2 weeks every year,
yeah,
I'd love to. But it is a day. It takes a full day to get
when
there.
When I flew there, it was to be on the panel of the ITV2 spin-off show of The Jungle. I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here. So we got flown out there by, I think, by Cathay Pacific, the posh one. Whoever did the posh...
Never even heard of them.
Exactly. And we were in... It was in that thing where you're not even... You're not even sat next to someone. You're sat in, like, a little the little pod.
Yes, yeah. They do that Virgin Atlantic.
I can do, this is posher.
Well, the last time that we went there, they flew us over. It was on those new Airbuses.
Oh, yeah, the big one.
With the Emirates.
Yeah.
That was posh.
It's the thing is, does anyone ever actually pay for those seats? Because they're like thousands and thousands of pounds, and it's only...
I think the first load of flights that we needed to go over there, we did a deal with Virgin.
Yeah.
And we did like a sort of internal video.
I see. You scratched their back, and yours was nicely rested.
Yeah, definitely. I think we definitely got the best.
Here's something
of the deal.
That you, Russ and Elizabeth, you won't know, right? And we know when you're flying first class or business class or whatever with Virgin, a lady comes round during the flight and asks, "What service would you like?"
Not always a lady, sexist.
Nothing wrong with being sexy.
I've been into first class on Virgin.
Yeah, but you got turfed out because you had your lizard out.
You can get
a manicure, a head rub, a massage, and I went for the manicure because I knew that.
When is this?
Everyone was going to ask for the massage, and I thought she's going to get bored of the massage, so I said, "I'll have a manicure, please." Yeah. And she hadn't done a manicure all day, so I got to sit there, and she got to do my fingers like that. It was very nice. Felt very, very pampered. Very pampered. Did you not get that treatment?
No, I'm not yet. I'm a silver club member with Virgin. Wow. I'm not a gold. I'm going to be a gold by the end of the year, though.
I don't even know what that means. I'm so low down the spectrum. There I don't even know what that means.
Russ, I've never been on a plane.
You are joking.
No,
you've never been on an aeroplane.
Seriously?
But it's not fine. How old are you, Elizabeth?
31.
That's all right.
That's not all right.
Is it? I need to get over myself.
Why?
Well, it depends, really, because. To go anywhere decent, really decent on a plane, it costs a lot of money.
No, it don't. What are you talking about?
It is. Well, I guess not. I'm thinking about.
You've changed.
I'm just thinking about. I'm having flashbacks to the first In Between Us film and thinking of Magaluf and things like that.
You can get an easy jet
to sort of Sorrento or something
like
that.
Go to Greece for 100 quid.
I'm like
too scared. It's being built up that much now that I'm too scared. I need
the thing
to come
is, Elizabeth,
me.
There have been so many...
Zakynthos.
Zakynthos, yeah, I go there every
summer. Isn't that now a part... Like, I went there on a family...
You can avoid Lagana, which is the bit where horrible people go and puke up. You can avoid that. There are nice places. But there have been so many aeroplane disasters recently that statistically, now is probably the best time to get on an aeroplane because the chances of there being... Another one after the two Malaysian airlines, the one that disappeared and the one that went there, the Egyptian thing. The chances now, it's got to be statistically the safest it's ever been.
Yeah, I can understand your thinking. It's like, who's that woman in the, was it in the 90s, Louise Woodward? You'd let her look after your kids now, surely.
Yeah, of course.
Because she's going to definitely make sure nothing happens to them.
Of course she is, because she's going to be double careful.
Double careful.
So, Elizabeth, I suggest you get on a plane.
Can I just make one? Right. Oh, God, my dad might kill me for saying this, but you don't know whereabouts in Liverpool I live, obviously.
No, but I could probably find it out.
When all that was kicking off with Louise Woodward, my dad...
Oh, no, Dominic, be careful. She was found innocent.
Yeah. I didn't say she did it, but I'm just saying she would definitely make sure nothing happened.
She was found innocent. So, yes, Elizabeth, he said hovering over the dump button.
As it was all happened.
I think we'll probably leave that. just to be on the safe side. I don't want to libel an innocent woman. Russ!
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, I was just going to mention about games consoles.
Okay. We'll take that call after the break for someone else. 0844 499 1000. James Buckley is here for the entire evening, or until he gets bored. And it's not an interview, and we're just going to sit here and chat and talk about whatever. So far, what have we talked about? We've talked games consoles. We've got to get onto the Beatles and the Monkees. You remind me of Mackenzie Crook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. He's a dude.
He's good. And there was just... I've noticed it. There's a couple of times you've said a couple of things... And I just thought, that reminds me of the way... And it's Mackenzie, the way he phrases. Did you watch the Detectorists?
No, I've not seen it yet. I was just talking to shouldn't even be saying this. I don't know why I've gone into this. I had a meeting with Baby Cow this afternoon and we were talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
But I did go and see the play that he did on Sloane Square.
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Was it Jerusalem?
Yeah, which was brilliant.
It was good. It were half long.
I don't remember it being long.
I think it had two intervals. And any play that's... And it was excellent. It was excellent. Another person from the 11 o'clock show. Any play that's got two intervals...
I don't remember it. I don't remember being bored. I play a lot of video games.
I didn't say I was bored.
Well, that's what being long... If something's too long...
I didn't say I was bored. You can have an extended enjoyment.
You can't say, I'm having... It's been too long that I've had all this fun. You can't.
Well, if you have too much fun, of course, you don't enjoy the fun as much.
Good.
So the shine was taken off the fun
right.
a little bit. I think that's got me out of it, hasn't it?
No, I think you've gone deeper into it.
All right, plays are rubbish.
Yeah, no, that was what I was going to say. I have a very, very short attention span.
Yeah.
I am literally... Which probably even makes me sound old now, but the MTV generation, which is old.
We've got to do a break. James Buckley is here.
Do kids watch MTV anymore?
No, they don't have pop videos on MTV now. It's progress. It's like the Kardashians right. and stuff.
Oh, okay.
James Buckley made his money in TV and films. He's now slagging off the theatre. This is going to be a very... Start pressing record and play on the cassette. This is going to be our bulletin, I think. Talk radio. Sam and Penny, stay there. Shouldn't there be some kind of newsy music bubbling under? Oh, it's ever. Yeah, thank you very much. Sam Penny, stay there. We'll have to have this conversation during the news, but you're trying to explain a man called Yanimize to me.
His company is Yanimize.
He'll touch your car up.
No, if you give him a car, he'll do anything you want
to. But like
to
what?
It.
Hang on a minute. Let's have the news. You can tell me during the news. Here we go.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Take a far-out trip into the twilight zone of late-night radio with Ian Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Unmissable late-night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a man so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I'd take my chances. I'd die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building. I might roll a brand new car. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. I've never spent much time in school, but I've taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay. Hey, hey! I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues, blown up for Raquel Welch. But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hay. Hey, hey! I might jump an open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that makes Eastwood look so fine.
Money. That's why you were still there. Apparently, we used to share an agent.
Yeah.
And then I got booted out. Yeah. I wasn't making no money. I wasn't making any money. Penny's on the line. Good evening, Penny.
Good evening, Ian. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much, James. I have to keep saying this. James Buckley is here, and I will say I want to. No, I think we've avoided the I word enough. I just don't want to keep. Oh, so the in between. I know you
but
don't.
But I need to ask you a question, though, right? So I've not been listening for the last hour. I'm very, very sorry.
Well,
but I normally watch on Periscope, which is great.
Yeah.
But I haven't been doing tonight, obviously, and I'm on my way home from the pub. I feel I ought to admit that because I may have had a little tipple or two.
Okay.
But I've got a fundamental question.
Yes.
Because, you know, last night you spoke about how your useless at remembering people's faces and stuff.
I've got facial dyslexia.
I've got exactly the same, and I'll tell you why you have it.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Are you... Well, at the moment, we're looking at each other.
Yeah.
But I don't know what this says about me, but I find looking someone in the eye makes me quite nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
And anxious.
We're doing it now, and I really wish... You broke away. Okay, so I'm the alpha male.
I look at people's, mouths a lot.
Yeah.
When I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
It makes me anxious. And there are some times where I've met people a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
And I cannot... I realise I didn't actually look at them in the face.
Yeah.
It's meant to be deceitful, isn't it, if you can't look at someone in the eye? I've not done anything to anyone. I promise.
But I had to... I don't know if it's not looking... I try and make eye contact, but I hate it. But yeah, I've had that thing, and I was telling you in the car, where we were both going, have we met before? I don't think we've met before, but you're familiar because I've seen you on telly, you've seen me on telly and listen to this. But I do that thing where I meet people and go, all right, Steve, nice to meet you. And they go... We worked together for 6 months last year, and it's not out of arrogance. And people think because you know I'm in inverted commas the talent, you know, that it's an arrogance, and it's not at all. It's the opposite of arrogance.
It's stupidity.
It's a brain thing. When I was at university in London, we had there was a big hospital attached to our university.
There's no university in London. What are you talking about?
But what we did is to earn money. As a poor student, I used to go and do experiments at the university. So they'd get us to sit in front of computers and do tests while they had electrodes on our brains.
How much did you get paid?
You'd normally got about £50 cash in hand. Beautiful. It was brilliant.
Doing cash in hand.
Yeah, this is.
Hand. It was fantastic.
We need to clamp down on this. This, you know, David Cameron's getting a rough rise. For having money in offshore accounts. It's these people getting the £50 cash in hand.
People that are getting cash in hand, they're reinvesting it. They're going out and they're buying chips and stuff like that.
It's
going straight back into the economy.
There was an experiment I did with electrodes on my brain whilst looking at photos of famous film actors and actresses and naming them. And they were testing for this whole face dyslexia thing.
Yeah,
it sounds like Clockwork Orange.
I can't remember what it is.
Okay, here's the thing, James. Crappiest job you've been offered.
Oh, I don't know.
And because she's reminded me, right? I was once asked to go on a show. I think it was for Channel 5, Channel 4. And they wanted to connect electricals to my genitals. And monitors to my my penis and my balls, to use the Latin. Yeah. And then they were going to show me pornography, and they were going to measure the stimulation. And I said to the bloke...
Just need a ruler.
And it was for something, it wasn't the word, it was like a latter-day equivalent of that. And I said, right, how much are you going to pay me for that? He said, well, £50 and we'll get you a cab. I said, right, that is never, ever... gonna happen, but for a second I considered it.
Really?
But you must have been offered like stuff. I suppose your agent backs it out of the way before it gets to you.
Yeah, a lot of stuff gets filtered, I think.
Penny, did they ever put electricals on your testicles when you were at university?
For some strange reason, no. Okay. But can I go back to my original question? I have this thing where I watch TV programs and films, and I can remember who people are when I look at them. But I haven't got a clue on names. So which one is Jay in the Inbetweeners? Because I don't know who it is.
That is actually an excellent question.
The little blonde one. The one with the bleached blonde
hair. There's two of those. Were you the one who was in the thing with Jack Whitehall as well or not?
No.
Okay, I've got it in my head now. Touchy. That's fine.
Were you the one that was in Dad's Army?
No.
Lucky. Dodge that one.
Oh, Blake.
No, he was. I saw the Dad's Army film, and I'm not expecting you to diss any work that your colleague's done, of course not, right? I saw the Dad's Army film. I was at a particularly low point in my life where, I won't go into details, but I had many days to kill. And one of those days, I had a couple of hours, and I was stood outside a cinema. I thought, right, I've got 2 hours. What's on? Oh, it's Dad's Army. It's only £3. I went and watched it. It looked brilliant. The cast, they all, you know, they look like the TV star. They're brilliant cast, cracking cast.
I've not seen it.
Not one laugh. Not one laugh in that movie.
Well, I know Blake very, very well, both professionally and personally.
Good.
And he is one of the best comedic
actors.
And
you know that I'm not saying this is a criticism. No. We've all done stinkers.
Yeah,
we've all done stinkers.
No, he won't.
We've all done stinkers.
He wouldn't take it personally. I don't think he's not. He's not that sensitive. But he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He is brilliant. It's only going to be a matter of time where he gets a real vehicle. Blake Harrison's going to be the real breakaway.
But Penny, I'm going to let you go because it's very windy there. Maybe something you ate. But you're all brilliant. The four of you are brilliant.
I really like the other three as well. Like, and I never really watched. I guess it's normal to hate watching yourself do stuff because see a load of things that you thought were terrible.
Yeah.
But I always enjoyed watching scenes that I weren't in, and because I thought the other boys were great. Like, and they're really funny guys, naturally funny, just funny bones. Just and all we did was make each other laugh for days on end.
And you it's kind of like the 21st century equivalent of The Young Ones.
You think so?
Yeah, I do think so. I think it was that iconic, and it's that four. Individual. I'm holding up five fingers. It's that four individual striking characters,
right.
And I think it is that. I think it is as iconic as that. I was going back. I didn't watch it because I had a real problem. I had resentment. I had real resentment around people that were more successful than me that I started with. And the reason I ended up watching The Inbetweeners was when the second film came out, and some friends said, "We're going to go to the pictures tonight. Do you fancy it?" I said, "Yeah, right." And we turned up and they went, "Oh, let's go and see The Inbetweeners too." So that was the first thing I'd seen of it. And I thought it was hilarious, you know, proper laughing out loud funny. And I'd made peace with my history enough that when I saw, like, Ian and Damon and Leo's names pop up and other names that I recognised, I was like, oh, actually, that's brilliant. I'm really chuffed for them.
Spencer Millman.
I wasn't pleased for him, actually. In fact, I wish nothing but baldness on that man. And that wish is almost coming true.
Oh, it's well and truly come true. Don't worry about that.
The wish has worked. And Rachel and all those people. And I was really chuckled. But I saw the second film and I thought, well, second film in a franchise it was hilarious. It was proper laughing out loud funny. And so then I did it backwards. So then I did the first film and then I started at the beginning of the series and did it all in, I did it in 3 days. I did you in 3 days, son. How does that make you feel?
Quick.
I was in bed. Doing you in
there's
3 days.
All right, well, there's a someone on YouTube has put a big long. I think it's a few hours long of whatever footage of 11 o'clock show is available.
Wow,
I did that in an afternoon, mate.
Wow,
yeah,
wow. Beat that. Okay, I can probably. I was watching you and your missus.
Oh, Jesus!
For both kids,
right.
When they were conceived.
All right.
Telephoto.
Yeah, but that's not...
There's
no time involved in that.
No, exactly. Very bad. I did that like that. Mm. What I'm saying is you're not very good at sex. I have no idea if you're good at sex.
Well,
I'm sure you're a very sensitive lover.
No. So if you... Sometimes if you're really good...
You do it
just
quick.
Get it, just, you know, you don't... It's like you. You can have too much... You know,
you don't have too much fun.
No, not at all. Because then it takes away from the fun that you have.
I would love to come and see your one-man show if you ever decide to do it. Because I imagine there'll be no intervals. In, out, we're done. Thanks, guys. Sam and Jack, stay there. We'll take a break. 0844 499 1000.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
James Buckley is here for the entire show. You're not a guest.
No.
It's not an interview.
No, I've just crowbarred my way into the show, really.
You listen to this nonsense.
Yeah.
Did you listen to this? How long have you been listening to me doing this nonsense?
On and off for a long, 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 long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you listen to the LBC stuff?
Was that was before Absolute.
That was before Absolute.
Yeah, I did.
Did you? Wow. That was when I was up at the peak of my powers.
I can't remember most of it though, and I would like to listen to it again, it's only the Absolute stuff that's easy to get.
Yeah, they always say put a paywall up, guys. Don't worry, I'll find a way around that. But why do you? And this isn't me, wanting you to blow smoke up my arse or anything like that. But
I'm ready to do so.
Will you?
Yeah,
that will be awesome.
Definitely.
We can do that when the Periscope later on when the Periscope is switched off.
Great.
If you want to watch us, by the way, periscope.tv.
I've got my electric cigarette. So,
are you one of them?
Yeah.
Really?
Vaping.
You're a vapist?
Yeah. Yes.
Why don't you just quit?
Because I'm not... The only reason I'm... Like, I'm quite... Well, ooh, I mean, if my parents are listening,
something
this is going to be a shock.
Then, didn't it? Something was touched.
Quite like... I like smoking.
Yeah.
If... And I never smoked as a kid. I wasn't like one of those, like, I've been smoking since I was 11 years old. I started smoking when the smoking ban came in. So I timed it really badly.
I like your style.
Yeah. It was when the smoking ban came in that I started to get regular work as an actor and also started to realise that it can also be quite stressful that I really care about my work and think I'm rubbish at it.
Yeah.
So that went hand in hand with me smoking to take
people
the edge
won't
off
be surprised that you say that it's stressful doing acting.
Yeah, it is stressful if you operate at the level I do.
Yeah.
So if you've seen The Inbetweeners and you think he's such a bad actor.
Yeah.
Watch me try and put up a shelf or work in a department store.
Yeah.
They're all things that I've done that I do even worse.
Wow. I can't put up a shelf. I tried once.
I used to fit kitchens.
No, you did not. Did you really?
Yeah.
Professionally?
Yeah, I had a Howden's account.
Don't know what that...
Howden's, mate. They do you a good kitchen.
Well,
good quality kitchen.
Well, now they do. But when you were working there, it was a little bit dodgy bodsky, was it?
What do you mean?
Well, were you up to standard?
Oh, well, the Howden's thing, which is good... I don't know why I'm plugging Howden's so
I don't know what Howden's is.
Howden's is a company, it's a joinery company.
Will he pimp my car?
No, Yanomize will do that.
Okay, right, yeah.
In Enfield. But...
I used to go busking in Enfield.
But,
It's true, that.
But Howden's, what they... anyone who's a chippy will know that Howden's is a entry-level sort of joinery.
Yeah.
Because you buy the caskets.
Yeah.
And then you just buy whatever doors that,
literally
that,
no
that fit on them. They're basically built already.
What you're talking about at all.
You measure up your kitchen.
Yeah.
You work out how many cupboards can fit.
That's not how they do kitchens. That's not how they do kitchens.
It is with Howden's.
That's not how they do.
And then you say you give the measurements to Howden's and they'll build the cupboards for
you
and then you just screw the doors.
You go into the shop. You like go. I like these.
You're talking about B&Q and
I'm talking about John Lewis.
John Lewis. Well, that's the thing as well. Yeah, because
and then they sit at a computer
because the cupboards are universal. They're all the same. It's what you put on the door.
Shut up, man.
That's the thing that you pick.
Up,
you say, I want that door with those...
With those handles.
Yeah, yeah. And that hob. Put
You're
that hob
that
in.
The cupboard body?
Mostly, yes.
Mostly. Thank you.
There are some...
Thank
that, you. There are some... That, there might be a there might be a variation between maybe, like, if you're putting in a black kitchen or a white kitchen.
No need to be racist. Jack is on the line. Good evening, Jack.
Good evening. Hello.
0844-499-1000, by the way, if anyone wants to call him. What have you got for us, Jack?
Well, I'm a student and I'm pretty annoyed with other students.
Okay.
They just really, really annoy me. Like, the girl I live with, she's a bit of a weed smoker. Like, every time she opens a room, it's like stars in her eyes.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Like, do you want to come down to the students' union to go to the fiesta party? No, I don't. I'm fine. I just want to get my work done.
Oh, okay. Ridiculous. You sound like a bit of a square, to be honest.
I just want to know what your student experiences were like.
And I don't know, I'm not educated in any way. I've barely got GCSEs. I left school
really?
At 15, that's true.
Why?
Because I had this idea that I was going to ponce about on television, and for some reason...
It worked out.
For some reason it happened.
When you said to your teachers, careers advisor... So
never even saw a career. I'll do it for the sake of this.
How can you leave at 15? That's not like
I'm very young. I was really late in the year and I'd already done my exams and stuff long before I was 16. And there was a point where because my mum and dad are very working class. My dad like has worked every hour of his adult life.
Yeah.
So there was a point where I'd left school, but I wasn't actually legally old enough to get a job yet.
Wow.
And he was giving me a bit of a dream period. Well, I thought so, but he was giving me a bit of stick, like, sort of going like, do you want to get a job? Are you going to get a job yet? And I'd go, well, I'm not old enough.
But that's the dream pocket you're in there.
It's good,
though.
Yeah.
But that's parents' job is to bully their children.
Oh, definitely,
But
you can't sit, if I could have, I would have been very, very lazy.
My careers advisor, I had a terrible head of my year, and she hated me. And I said, "I want to be an actor." And she laughed, And she said, well, but what do you really want to do? I said, no, I want to be an actor. She says, right, well, that's never going to happen. So you could go to teacher training college. Mm. I went, yeah, okay. So I nearly ended up doing that, but then I got into performing arts. But then the careers advisor, they entered your details into a computer of, like, what you were studying and what you wanted to be and stuff. And I said, I'll be an actor. And a computer printout came out that was suggesting I should be a prison warden.
An aptitude test.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that. Prison warden. Right. What do you want to be when you
grow
up?
That's so specific.
Very specific.
That's almost like Mystic Meg. Like, if you then became a prison warden, I would have gone, mate, what numbers are you doing this weekend?
I reckon if you went back to and studied the statistics on prison wardens from 1988 and 89, there would be probably be a lot of murders of prison wardens, and they were desperate. Jack, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, when I was at school, I used to be a magician, and I did that, like, for all my childhood. Careers advisor would be like, oh, it's not a proper job and stuff, but I did it, like, professionally for 5 years whilst I was a kid.
Right. So, a magician?
Yeah, I was in the final of the World Junior Magic Championship. Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is awesome. And this is what you should go is. You should go and, I was going to say, burn down your school. That's perhaps a little bit too much. But listen, if careers advisors and teachers, if a kid comes up and says, all right, so what do you want to be? I want to be a magician. You should say, yes, right, okay, let's see if we can make this happen then. Come on, let's phone up Martin Daniels, Paul Daniels' son.
Yeah.
And we should be encouraging this sort of stuff.
Probably get a bit bigger person than Martin Daniels.
Well, yeah, there's a fella in one of the papers today. I knew I'd written this down.
Is that what you'd say to Martin Daniels if he reached out to you to give you some advice on...
I'd say, cheers, mate, but, like, thanks for the help.
He'd have some sort of insight on what it would take to be a famous magician.
I Paul Daniels, and he did an impression of me, like, on stage. It was very bizarre.
Did Paul Daniels humiliate you?
He did, in a way,
he's
yeah.
He's been dead long enough. We can now start dishing the dirt. What did Daniels do, Jack?
He just did an impression of one of my magic tricks. He did it in a nice way. He's a lovely man.
Well, here we go. Well, you said it. Here we go in the papers today. Britain's Got Talent star ripped off a Paul Daniels trick. The headline is, you will like this not a lot. Abra... This is good, actually. Abracad nabs it. Abracadabs it. Ooh. That
sounds like they've just been working hours on trying to think of a pun.
Slightly jarring.
Britain's Got Talent magician Richard Jones has been accused of stealing two tricks off the late Paul Daniels. The Army Bandsman, 25. Bandsman.
Elastic Bandsman.
I often say man when I mean man. Transformed fizzy drink into tea. And performed a mind-reading origami stunt on Saturday night. But Paul's widow, the beautiful Debbie McGee, 57, said, Paul has done both of those tricks in the past. Stealing people's tricks is frowned upon in the magic circle. Yeah. The thing is, there's no such thing as an original magic trick, is there, Jack?
No, like, he's done it in his own way as well. Yeah. He's packaged it differently. There's comedians who go on Britain's Got Talent, the pinch jokes and that, which I think it's different in comedy when you pinch jokes, but with
I'd like to think Paul Daniels would probably take that as a compliment, wouldn't he? Because he was, you know, if you were into magic, I assume he was such a sort of an icon long that, you know, it's almost flattering, isn't it?
I've been to his house.
You've been to his house?
Yep.
Any good?
He wasn't there.
Okay. He's got ducks, hasn't he?
He's got what?
Did you break in?
Ducks.
He's got ducks. He lives on the river. Doesn't live on the river. He lives next to the river. I had the great misfortune. Let's pray, James, that your star never sinks this low. I'm sure it won't. You're on the way up now. Yeah. But I was on the way up when I was 28. Now look at me.
Yeah.
I'm on a digital station that no one knows about. But I ended up doing Come Dine With Me.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
It was... I tell this story the other week. I love... This is absolutely true. It was the worst week of my life. Hated it. I don't like people in my house. Don't like film crews in my house, but I knew we were moving, so I went for it. And I
don't like Dave Lamb in my head all the time as well.
He doesn't come round. You never meet Dave Lamb.
It's like the voice in your head, isn't it? It's
yes.
Like
I did. I would say things, leave a pause, look to camera, and then look away and then carry on talking... thinking that's the perfect gap for him to just say something very, very witty and very pithy in there. But I, it was me, Debbie McGee, Lembit Opik, and Jodie
Marsh.
The
lovely Debbie McGee. Look,
she's such a nice person. She's such a nice person. I'll tell you a story about her again in a minute. But it was, I hated it. It was awful. And Lisa, my agent at the time, said, oh, do it, it's $3,000. And also, they give you the money to buy the food, cash in hand.
Free meal.
250 quid.
Four free meals.
Yeah, 250 quid, though, to buy the food. I didn't spend all that.
Nah,
I spent about 50 quid.
Yeah.
But, so I'm 200 quid up on that as well. And I've declared it. I hated it, right? So stressful. It was horrible. And they keep showing it all the flipping time, all the time. And it was on four more again. And someone tweeted, oh, you'll Come Dine With Me is on. And I tweeted, that was the worst week of my life.
Right.
Jodie Marsh tweeted, was that the worst week of your life? You're lucky. The worst week of my life was when my best friend was murdered.
Yeah.
Flip it. There's no... I went, fair play, Jodie, you're right, actually. Yeah, that's significantly worse. Although it was still a horrendous week that I had to endure. Yeah. There's no comeback to that, is there?
Just that I was just talking about what the worst week of my life was specifically.
I'm not playing worst week top trumps. Jack, what's your favourite trick?
Favourite trick, Tommy Cooper's spoon jar. I know it's not really a trick, but it's the way it's presented is hilarious. Yeah.
Not David Copperfield flying?
No, one of my favourite magicians is John Archer. He's a fantastic comedy magician.
Oh, he's good. Well, do you know what? We'll get John on one night. He's good. I know John.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Yeah.
Jack, all right, listen, we've got to take a break. 0844 499 1000. Sam, stay there. I know you've been there for ages. Let's have this.
Late Night Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, I've got to do this story on air now. Again, we're talking about... the James Buckley is here. You will recognise him from the in-betweeners. We might talk about some other stuff, or we might not. I don't know. It depends. That you've done. But we've both worked with Ian Morris. Ian Morris is one of the co-creators of the in-betweeners, and he worked with me on the 11 o'clock show. And I was just telling a story that I'd rather not tell on air, but I'm going to tell it on air in the spirit of openness. For the Christmas special of the 11 o'clock show, we flew to Israel, right? Me, Ian Morris, Leo Martin, and a delightful but insane cameraman called Jade. And we had 3 days of filming the most offensive stuff I've ever been involved in. And I didn't know, you know, I went along and did it. I just did what I was told, okay?
Yeah.
So we had me reading Razzle whilst floating in the Dead Sea.
Okay.
There's a lot of salt in that sea.
Yeah.
We had me dressed up in a suit. They do loads of weird tourist things there, right? You can walk on the water. Was it the Sea of Galilee where Jesus walked on the water? You can walk on the water. And what they do is they construct like a little metal frame just beneath the surface of the water. Yeah. You get a boat out and then you're walking on the water.
Because it's a Jesus theme park.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. And they can also, you can hire crosses. There were loads of these Americans that hired crosses to carry it around. Not to be crucified on.
Right.
That's perhaps going a little bit too far.
Right.
But they would walk around the streets where Jesus carried his cross to be crucified.
Okay.
And they'd do it as a penance. And we had to go into...
Well, it's quite interesting, I guess.
It's quite nuts.
Yeah.
We went into the... The Dome of the Rock, which is... Is that the birthplace of Allah? Is that not Allah? Somebody. I don't know. You can come in, Catherine, and fill in the details. Anyway, somebody. Right. Boy, oh boy. I was really tired. It was hot. And I sat down. And this tough guy... with machine gun, pointed the machine gun. Get up! Don't sit down! Is that where Allah was born?
Not Allah. Muhammad.
Muhammad. All right. Okay. Let's, you know.
Careful.
Dodge that bullet.
There's that little sort of... it looks like a little chimney, is the sort of area where they say that Jesus was born.
Yeah, been in there. Went in there, very dark and cramped.
Well, yeah, it was a luxury, was it? There was no room at the inn.
But it wasn't. It was a cave.
That's not in Bethlehem, though, is it?
It's near it, I think.
Is it?
It's near it. There's the tree where you see the tree where Jesus had a little sit down under.
Yeah,
that's there. Honestly, but then we went to the Wailing Wall.
Oh, flipping it!
No, I know, and I'm okay. And
don't
I
mess with that stuff.
I messed with it.
Oh no!
Ian Morris said, "Right, this will be really funny, right?" What we want you to do, Ian, right, is we want you to go over to the Wailing Wall, right, And all you got to do, is just do a little jiggle.
Oh, no.
And bend your knees as though you've had a wee against it and walk away.
Oh, no.
And I went, all right, Ian, where are you going to be? He said, we're going to be half a mile over there. We've got to tell it we've got a zoom lens on.
Yeah, right? I bet he was.
So you had to go on there. You have to cover your head. So they made me cover my head with a knotted hanky.
I've gone it.
Yeah. Walk up to the way. And I'm you know, I would never do such a thing now, OK? And I didn't realise the significance of it before, you know, people kick off. Well, they were too late to kick off. And I went over it, over there, and I did it.
Yeah.
And we shot all of this stuff, right? And we took it back to Channel 4, and they'd spent a fortune on sending us out there. And Andrew Newman, who was the head of comedy at the time, he's now big in BAFTA or something, he looked at it all and he went, yeah, we can't show any of that. And we went nuts. We went absolutely nuts. And I think I called him, I think I dropped a C-bomb at him because I was full of arrogance and chemicals. And we went nuts, and Ian was really upset. La, la, la. Looking back now, I'm so glad they showed like about 30 seconds of all of this stuff that we shot, and they didn't show any of that. But that's the kind of person Ian Morris is. he's a theology.
He is, yeah. He's got a degree,
doctorate or whatever
he is.
Yeah,
he's got a degree in theology, yeah. That's what he's...
And yeah, he still made me do those things.
Yeah, and he was flipping miles away. Not daft.
He was miles... Israel's a weird place.
He pulls the strings, Morris. That's what he
does. He does. He's the puppet master.
He's the kid in the playground who goes, go and kick that big kid.
He is, though.
I'll be over here.
He is, though. Israel's a weird place. Mm. I liked it. Some of the nicest places in the world are also the tensest. I like Pakistan a lot. I love Pakistan. I liked Israel, but flipping it, there's a tension in the air in both of those places.
Next stop, Syria.
I can imagine.
It was.
I've heard about it. I've not been.
No, and everyone's walking around with, not everyone, but there's guns. Anyway, Sam's been on the line for 40 minutes. Sorry, Sam.
It's all right. It's fine. Hello.
Hello, mate. You're right. You're through to James, to Catherine, to myself, and even Id can join in if you want. We're all here.
Hi.
Oh.
Hi, Id.
This is brilliant. I just want to say to James, first of all,
sure.
The soundtrack to In Between is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I just think, like, might be a strange question, but did you, as the actors, have any say in the music you're playing or in the edit? Or probably a silly question, but...
No, not at all, no. We didn't have that much to say, actually. It was a woman called Marsha Shandur from XFM. She when XFM was XFM.
When it was good.
Yeah. She did... I don't know if she did the last film, but she definitely did all the series. She did the soundtracking for all the series and stuff, and she picked lots of cool music. If I remember rightly, the first series though had a lot of Kate Nash on it, which was annoying. But apart from that,
Nash, there's a name.
I know, that sort of came and went.
Was
didn't
she
it?
Scottish?
No,
don't know.
That's Amy McDonald.
She's from London. I got her album for my birthday once.
Oh.
It's a good song on it.
Okay, girly singers that have fallen by the way. Gem. Girly singers poker. Right, I'll go first, second, third. Right.
Oh, I'm not going to win this.
No, no.
I'm really bad at sort of pop culture. And
all
I do is watch old TV and listen to old music. And
okay. And tell us, Sam, you can play as well. You go first, Sam.
Okay, then. Right. Duffy.
Gem.
Yeah, Duffy's good.
Yeah, that's a good one. Natasha Bedingfield.
Oh, yes! James?
When I was... I think the first year I'd left school, there was a girl called Jojo who was, like, 13
yes.
that had brought a song out.
Yeah,
get out!
He's allowed to. He's got the answer right. Don't tell him to get out. Jojo, yeah. Go on, Sam.
I can't say it. Elijah Doolittle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Gosh, I'm at my wit's end.
Yeah, I thought I'd really pulled it out of the bag with that one.
Oh, I've got a good one.
Hang on.
Are you googling it?
No, I'm not googling it. I'm tempted to Google it, but I'm not googling it. I'm out, guys.
Lucy Silvers.
Yeah. Oh!
She was good.
Can I have Skater Boy?
No, Avril Lavigne's still around.
She's not... She might still be alive, though. Your wife's texting you the answers.
She is.
You will allow that. Yeah, Avril Lavigne
She's just texted me saying Sandy Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I wish oh, I was man. A punk rocker with flowers in my hair. Yeah. All right. So you got Sandy Tom. Go on then, Sam.
I think I'm out, to be honest.
You're out? Okay, so it's between Kat and James.
Right.
Good luck.
Come on.
Good. Okay, here we go.
My wife's listening.
Here we go.
Hurry up and text in. There's a delay, though, so she'll be behind.
Here we go. Olive.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah.
Who's that?
You're not alone.
Okay, Blue Cantrell.
Oh, nice. Breathe. Okay. Can I have three all together? Can we do groups?
No,
girl singers.
No, you can't have a girl group.
All right, here we go. Louise. As in nerding.
No.
Now Redknapp.
No.
She doesn't sing no more.
No, not having that. That's why? Denied. That is Louise is denied because she's eternal. We're not having that. No.
Well, she did have a...
She had a solo thing. All right. Rachel Stevens.
Oh, because that's what I was going to say next.
No, I'm not allowing girls from pop groups that have gone solo. Not allowing it.
All right. I'll do another one.
Lisa Loeb.
Lisa Loeb.
Yeah, beautiful.
Who's that?
I only hear what I want. That one.
Kate Bush only did one tour until recently.
Get out.
Kate Bush.
She only did that one tour, didn't she? Until recently.
Kate Bush is a little bit rubbish. I mean,
no,
she's not.
Oh, no.
Don't team up with her.
No.
She's hot in babushka.
One half of her is.
I have, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think she's rubbish.
No, she's not rubbish. She's amazing.
I really like her. Yeah, I think she's original and unusual. There's only a few people that... That can do that.
Yeah.
Unique.
She makes music more interesting place.
Who was that? Okay. Okay, go on.
Sarah Bareilles.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the black girl that was everywhere for a while? I went and saw her at the Hammersmith Odeon. She was everywhere.
Macy Gray?
No.
Chasney?
No. Chasney Talent.
Miss Dynamite?
I
saw her crash in a sports car on Silverstone.
What car was it?
It was on TV, but I was there when it was happening. It was a racing car.
Was it Emily Sandé?
No, who? Emily Sandé!
I think she might
just be brilliant. She was brilliant.
She was brilliant, but she was on everything.
Yeah.
And when the BBC start putting singers on everything... Here we go.
I just realised that I did look at this. I acted as if I came up with Miss Dynamite then on my own, but what actually happened was I quickly looked at a text that my wife had sent me and then... My brain just thought that I'd got to Miss Dynamite.
Sam, I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm going to have to cut you off for cheating, Sam.
What?
Thank you very much indeed. We can't have that.
We're 40 minutes for that.
We'll have another little break. 0844 499 1000. We'll call you back.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Man. 0844. We've thought of loads now. Rita Ora, of course. And
I don't know what because they say she's a singer. I mean,
prove it. Where's the evidence? Where is the Ev? I've not seen any Ev to back this up. Corinne Bailey Rae.
Oh,
I liked her song she did.
Yeah.
Put in the record. She had a very sad life, Corinne Bailey.
I know, she did actually. Very sad. She was a widow or something, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She was really young, though.
Yeah. Terrible accident, I think. Anyway, very sad. Anyway, right. So James Buckley is here. You probably know him from the image. What else have you been in?
I've seen an Only Fools and Horses prequel called Rock and Chips.
Oh God!
It was more of a.
Oh God! I'm so sorry.
No, it was really good. I really liked it.
Who were you in that?
I played the young Del Boy.
Did you really?
Yeah, as a teenager.
Wow.
Yeah. John Sullivan wrote it.
Yeah. How long ago was that then? Because he died a while ago.
About five years.
Wowzers.
Ago now, five
All
or six
right.
years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he died. What's really sad is that. Last time I saw him, like, without sounding facetious, he was literally full of life.
He was fit
as a fiddle.
Yeah.
And then I found out he'd passed away, and somebody got in touch with me and said, John's passed away. And then I had an old text message from him. And it just said, sorry I couldn't be in today. I'm trying to get over this cough.
Yeah.
And I think it was pneumonia. But he was, like... fit. He was like, he was well up for it. He weren't like ill or anything.
It's mad, isn't it? He was a machine, that man. He was, honestly,
when I was working with him, he had so much energy.
Yeah.
loved what he was doing so much. And I was watching him just thinking, if I'm still this excited about turning up to work after the decades, you know, he's put in a shift, John.
Because he could have quit, I mean, he could have quit years before he passed away, because he would have made his money.
Oh, yeah, no, he's written the most successful comedy in British history. But he was so up for it.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it, loved it, absolutely loved it. I thought, if I'm still that enthused, I'm doing something
it's
right.
It's funny,
in my life.
Isn't it? I love this job. And I love the fact it's late at night and it's the slot I wanted and it's the dream job. And, you know, the downside is I'm knackered in the morning. But that's it. I love this gig. I think it's brilliant. Perfect for me. But I went through a period early on with the 11 o'clock show. I mean, I was 25 when I got that. And I went from being really massively in debt and signing on to suddenly earning thousands of pounds a week and being on a really funny show. Had very little to do with me. It was all written for me. The stuff on the street I kind of had a hand in. But the 11 o'clock show wasn't really me. It was other people, and they told me what to say. And I went through a period of really enjoying it and being really nice to everyone. And then... in TV, it's a cliche. Maybe you didn't get this, but it's a cliche. You get surrounded by people who tell you that you're brilliant. And suddenly you got a few... I found I had a few quid in my pocket. People were telling me brilliant. I was brilliant. Offering me all kinds of, you know, things to indulge in and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a 90s thing.
I think it is. Maybe it is. It's interesting you say that.
It's
and
the Gallaghers and the Blair Factor and everything.
And I became... for quite a while, I became an arse. I was a terrible person, you know, full of ego and self-importance. And thinking I was better than myself. But what was interesting was at the same time I was thinking I'm better than everyone else, I was also thinking I'm worse than everyone else and I don't deserve this. And at some point someone's going to phone me up and go, we've made a terrible mistake. You're not meant to be on the television. Yeah. We picked the wrong person. We're so sorry. And which kind of eventually did happen. But so it was this weird thing of thinking I'm a terrible person and I'm worse than everyone else. And also at the same time, I'm a genius and I'm better than everyone else. And there was drugs going all over the place in TV then, you know, cocaine and, you know, the people smoking joints after the 11 o'clock show out on the balcony and stuff like that.
Cocaine is really retro now, I think.
Is it really?
I think so.
I hope so.
I don't think anyone does cocaine anymore.
Wow. I hope so. It was, you know, I'm not saying unless I got involved in that, but I wasted a lot of my time. I made some terrible decisions.
Right.
The common denominator was fear. That was the common thing, was fear all the way through it.
Yeah.
But you seem... And maybe this is just... But you seem quite grounded, and what I've
I'd like
seen
to think
of you,
so, yeah.
You're quite grounded.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think I'm the complete opposite of arrogant. I think I'm rubbish. I think I'm really not very good at my job at all whatsoever. As I think me trying to put that sentence together.
You said whatsoever.
I did say ether, didn't I?
I like it when I confuse my th with a v and vice versa. It's nice. That makes me feel human. I'm glad I'm not the only one who does it.
I've got the same friends that I met when I was 4 years old in nursery in Dagenham.
Are they still four?
They aged with me, which
but actors are insecure. I've got a good friend of mine, Alex, and he's terribly insecure, yet he's one of the most talented performers that I know.
It's really nice having people saying that they think you're really good. That's what I enjoy.
Yeah.
I feel like I need that.
Yeah.
Because of the insecurity. But I don't believe it when people say it. I think that's just someone's opinion.
Do you have you got a mate, or maybe these mates that you grew up with, that if you've done something rubbish, they'll go, James, I'll be honest, that stunk.
My mates keep me very grounded. So what happened was I was in a sitcom that became really successful and sort of became a big shot in the comedy world for a little while. And they just took the mick out of me more for it.
Brilliant.
I got less respect off my friends because I was acting like a fool on television for a living.
Yeah.
I think that just kept me quite normal.
Yeah.
Like, it stopped me from... because I literally have people... You know, because of Twitter, anyone can get in touch with me, which is sort of good and bad. But I literally have people every day saying, you're my hero. And I want to go, that's, like, cool, like, that's really nice, but...
But you...
aim a bit higher.
But you, you, when you were, like, 15, 16, 17, watching the telly...
Yeah.
Well, you understand what they mean, don't you?
Yeah,
when they said it, because you must have been heroes.
Well, I'm sitting with one now. Like, literally.
Oh, come on.
Like, when I... And I was really young when the 11 o'clock show came out, but I was obsessed with comedy from a young age.
Yeah.
Like, just... I don't know what it was, but I've got an encyclopedic knowledge of comedy. For some reason, I just... It was, like, school, important things, important dates. I don't... I've got... I can't remember at all, but I've just... I've sucked comedy, like, the knowledge... Well, the history of
that's
comedy.
That's often how we get work in this business.
Exactly, yeah.
We have to suck comedy.
So, when I was... when like, so, there was things like the 11 o'clock show, the Adam and Joe show, even TFI Friday, like, watching things like that when I was a kid. I was like, I can't wait until... I'm a part of culture and I'm old enough. And then when I got old enough, there was nothing.
Yeah.
There was nothing. There's nothing that my generation has where we can all go, we were a part of this or we all watched that. That was our thing. Our parents didn't watch it, but we were into it. There's. I don't feel that my people my age has that at all.
But I think, isn't... Well,
and a lot of the stuff on the 11 o'clock show, I couldn't possibly understand.
Yeah.
But I stayed up to watch it, and it was naughty, and it was...
Isn't it funny? Because I don't...
It was really exciting.
I can't... I'm really proud of the 11 o'clock show. I'm really proud of it, and I love it to pieces. But I'm also aware that, at the time, not many people watched it. It got about a million and a half. And I'm also aware that a lot of people were watching it for Ali G. And I used to get, and this was before Twitter, so we get like posts and stuff. But we would get, or reviews would say, Ali G is X, this is worth watching for Ali G and Ricky Gervais, Ian Lee is rubbish.
Right.
And I was kind of the one, and even Daisy got a lot of praise.
That's,
Daisy was
that's
good,
interesting,
but...
because even though I watched it,
yeah,
and then Ali G became its own thing and he got his own show and went to America and brought out a film and stuff, and then Ricky Gervais obviously brought out The Office and things like that. I had to sort of think back and go, because like the 11 o'clock show isn't on All Four and, or anything like that. So I had to sort of go, I remember saying they were on it, but I can't, like Ricky Gervais especially.
Yeah.
Like, was he on it?
He dropped the C-bomb on it. We got terrible trouble for that.
Right.
He dropped the C-bomb the producers forgot to bleep it. And that, in those days, if there was a C-bomb in a show, they had to give out a special warning before the show.
Okay.
So if it was lots of swearing, they'd say, well, tonight, you know, this show contains bad language. If the C-bomb was in it, they would say, this show contains extreme language. And that meant you were going to get a C-bomb.
But after watching the stuff that's on YouTube at the 11 o'clock show, I was like, oh, yeah, he was in it. It was just him reporting on something in a flippant, sort of daft, comedic way.
He was funny,
though. He was funny. Yeah.
But it's weird. Part of me thinks, what did I do wrong to end up here in a job that I love? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, in comparative peace to where I've been and stuff. You know, breakdowns and all that kind of shiz. But what did I do wrong that I'm here and they're over there making millions of dollars?
It was a subversive show.
Yeah.
And I think you were the face of it, and Daisy, and I think that was the easier target. Because it did look like, for people watching it, it was like, oh, this, because you've just said, I was told what to say.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it just looked like, oh, that this is these guys being funny.
Yeah.
And I think I mean, I was a part of the audience who watched it, so I guess I'm okay saying this, but people don't really think a lot while they're watching something on television, because it defeats the purpose of watching television in many ways. So they will just take what they see for complete face value and just take that literally. And I think it's gotten even worse nowadays, which is killing comedy, especially. Because now, for some reason now, if you say something that obviously isn't true or you know, it might be naughty to say it or whatever, but if you say something, you can't say... But I was joking.
It was a joke. And it's all taken...
That's not an excuse now.
No, and it's all taken... It annoys me when, like, Jimmy Carr or Frankie Boyle, they'll be, like, front page, out, Jimmy Carr, slam, makes a horrendous, you know, anti-disabled joke or something. And they'll just have that sentence. And I go, right, before I judge that, I want to hear the 10 minutes before it and the 10 minutes after it, please, you know, because... And also, he's a comedian. You know, I don't know if he's made jokes about disabled. But, you know, they're constantly being attacked for...
For
and they're offensive.
A comedian making jokes?
Yeah.
Not on my watch.
Is it not about Pakistanis? And is it, you know, you look back at the comedians from the 70s and 80s, it was all about, you know, blacks and Pakistanis and things like that.
I think an ethos that Jimmy has, I think, is that he likes to cover everything.
Yeah.
So if you find that one thing particularly controversial or offensive, that's your problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone that's been to see his shows know that rude jokes.
It's what we used to call blue humour.
Yeah.
It's adult humour, something for the mums and dads.
Yes, it's for adult people that are into Jimmy Carr.
Yeah.
He doesn't force anything on anyone. You've come to see his show.
Yeah.
He's not gone up to you in the street and said something offensive. But I've seen him loads of times, but there was this one time that I went to see him, he does a load of warm-ups before he then goes on tour, and he did the Cliffs Pavilion in Southend. And I went to see him, and he made a joke about a disabled person or something, and there was one woman that sort of kicked up. And he made the point of saying, look, I've made jokes about race, about rape, about paedophilia, but because this one... And you've sat there and laughed, but because this one joke has affected you, and you feel offended by it, you've now felt the need to heckle me and shout out.
Have you ever seen Jerry Sadowitz?
No.
Oh, mate, I'm taking you to see Jerry Sadowitz.
Okay.
You want to see someone, he offends everybody, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, and people will get up and walk out.
I just think you should either joke about everything or joke about nothing.
Yeah. Daniel's on the line. Hello, Daniel.
Good evening, how are you?
All right, Daniel. Listen, we've only got a minute. Do you want to come back after the news?
Yeah, that'd be great, yeah.
Is that all right?
Fantastic.
All right, nice one, man. You stay there. You compose yourself. What we'll do is we'll speak to Daniel after the news, and you're up for taking calls straight to air?
Yeah, can't wait.
We might not get any. B, we might just get people phoning up being rude to you.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Your eyes lit up then. Those are quite often my favourite calls, when they phone up to be rude about James Buckley, but when they phone up to have a pop at me, and we've not had that yet. There was one guy yesterday on Twitter who was going to phone up because he says that my attitude towards women stinks. I love girls. Why? Yeah. Why? What's the problem? I love them. He's not called in, but he's welcome to call him.
Yeah.
But those are my favourite calls when people want to phone up and have a pop at me. But you're all right.
Also, have a pop at me, have I said anything? Because I naturally like to make jokes about things, so sometimes I forget somebody might say take something seriously that I've said.
Well, let's have a quick break and then we'll take some calls straight to air.
Talk radio.
All right, listen, we're going to take calls straight to air. Daniel, stay there, you don't go anywhere, but after midnight, the way it works is this. You call us up, 0844 499 1000, and you come straight to air. Calls cost 7p a minute, plus your access charge, significantly more for mobiles. Got to do that, that's the business side of it. And you can come on, you can have a chat, it's all been a little bit good-natured, so if you want to have a pop at either of us, we're up for it, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm quite thick-skinned. I get home.
He's quite thick-skinned, let's see.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
He has made a covenant with the night, and with the darkness he is in agreement.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
All right, let's talk to Daniel. Then James Buckley is here, and he's been here for the whole show. And you're not bored of this, are you?
No, not at all. No, I'm going to try and come back as often.
You come back whenever you want. Honestly, I have an open invitation to come back. I'm genuinely thrilled and honoured that you listen to this nonsense. Let's have a word with Daniel. Hello, Daniel.
Good evening. Hey. Ian, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Daniel. What you got?
Well, I'd just like to say, first of all, that loving... been a fan for a long time, Ian, actually, so I'm going to disappoint both of you. I'm not here to criticise anyone.
Oh, that's disappointing. He's right, he's disappointed us. Never mind.
Well, I can do, but I mean, well, I wouldn't do, but no.
I'm sure you could. It's a bit of an open goal, really, but no, go on.
Well, yeah, sure, yeah, but I know, I've been watching on Periscope tonight, and, Ian, from little bit tipsy, as you can might tell, but...
Tipsy on a Wednesday? What are you doing tomorrow, Dan?
It's a Wednesday night, sure.
Well, I booked. I'm on annual leave tomorrow, so it's all.
Oh, okay.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Booked a bit of annual.
Yeah, bit of the.
Did you book annual leave just so you could get drunk on a Wednesday?
It's nice to get a little bit. I'm normally a non-drinker actually, so I've not drunk for about 6 weeks or something. So.
So you are the very definition of a binge drinker. You are binging on drink.
It's quite possible, Ian, yeah, actually, yeah.
I haven't had a drink for 11 and a half years. Tell me what it feels like.
That phrase really confuses me, binge drinking. Because it's almost as if to go, well, do you want me to be an alcoholic?
Is that what you'd prefer? I was drunk every day. Well, I was putting the kids to bed, I'm drunk. Yes. Got a bottle of whiskey under their pillow.
Yeah, sometimes I get drunk once a week because, you know, I might be a young person that likes to go out to the disco or whatever. Like, drinking.
When I discovered booze at the age of 15, he's drinking now. Listen to him swigging from a bottle. I used to love going up to the park with my mates, a bottle of Thunderbird, and getting absolutely steaming.
Well, my experience is different, is that we were in the pub at 15.
Oh,
we were like gentlemen having a pint. Seriously. So it wasn't like... Yeah. So by the time we were... I don't know if I should have said this.
We've said it. We've said it.
By the time we did become legal drinking age...
Yeah.
And we weren't, like, going mental. Like, it would be, like, a couple of pints and you get dizzy and that would be the evening.
But how did you get away with it? Because you are quite short and you've got a baby face.
Yes.
I was a tall fella.
I timed it quite well. Not at all, because they knew how old we were as well.
Oh.
It was just sort of different. Like, by the time I turned 18, it was suddenly...
Yeah.
Where's your ID? You've got to carry ID with you. But before I turned 18... It was just sort of like...
And you're right, there were a lot of boozers back in the day that knew that you were school kids.
Yeah, because my parents drank in there.
Well, after I passed my driving test, it was on a Tuesday, and it was in the morning, I had the morning off school, my mates met me at the car park, and they saw I passed my driver's test. We went over to the Printer's Devil to have a couple of pints to celebrate in our school uniforms.
Yeah.
Then off to school.
Right.
Flipping
heck. Yeah, that sounds
how many how many times, Ian, for your driving test?
Once.
Yeah, how many lessons?
I don't remember how many lessons. Yeah. I had one driving test.
Yeah,
that's all you need to know.
I can't remember exactly anymore, but I had very, very few minors.
I think I had 14 lessons.
Yeah, it's about... I had 12. I had 12 and passed first time, and I'm...
All right, Daniel.
Well, you know, I might as well say it. So.
You might as well. Respect where it's due, Daniel. Fair play. I'm going to give you that one. What you got for us?
Well, actually, yeah, I was just, you know, saying that I... very new to the talk radio... experience actually, so but been a fan for a long time, Ian, since the 11 o'clock.
That's,
you know,
the theme park that's opening in the summer, the talk radio experience. Basically, it's you sit on a carriage and you get weirdos shouting at you, and then there's the Julia Hartley Brewer Room where you just sit there and get angry for 3 hours and a little bit racist. Anyway, but still a great listen, 10 to 1 every weekday morning.
But if I could just say, I think James said before about. He may obviously say it in jest about being a bad actor or a...
Yeah.
But actually, obviously, we all know that's not the case. You're a very, very good actor. And I'm just interested, James, into where you got your kind of style from, actually, and that kind of... the way you do portray yourself in, obviously, that word...
The Buckley method? What's the Buckley method?
Well, it's just... It's usually... If it's usually what I'm watching a lot of at the time. So when I first started doing Jay, I was watching a lot of Peep Show, and I was obsessed with the Super Hands character, and I think that might have filtered through in my performance a little bit.
I've never seen Peep Show.
Really good.
Yeah.
It's very good, yeah.
Is it funny?
It's really funny.
I don't really watch much TV anymore, and that's why I used to be one of those people that was obsessed
with
TV.
Well, it's not on TV anymore, so
well, I've missed it then.
Yeah.
So it's a shame. There's only some way of watching these old programmes, but there isn't, is there?
No, there isn't. You can only watch it once, and if you haven't seen it...
And that's what it used to be like when I was a kid. Honestly, we didn't even have videos. We did. Well, eventually we did. Ultimately. My generation died for yours.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question, Daniel?
Kind of, yeah, yeah. Kind of. Yeah. I mean,
He's fudged it. He's fudged that answer, actually. I'd be furious if I were you. Very, very poor answer.
I thought it was an interesting question. No one's ever asked it.
It's a good question. Terrible answer.
What? I
want to get inside the actor's studio with James Buckley.
What's my favourite noise? Things like that.
Yeah.
Sod off.
Well, I'm interested, just before you cut me off, Ian, I'm interested in, obviously, thank you, yeah, actually, people's behaviour, actually, but Ian, you talked about before about, you was asking for reassurance from James, and I talked about, and I think I sent a message around, are you insecure, but we're all insecure, obviously,
yeah.
But Ian, what's this thing about the mental health thing? I missed the show on last Friday, and that.
That's the only show I wish I had missed.
Friday show was hard work. What do you know? I suffer from depression. I'm on antidepressants, and I had a little breakdown before Christmas.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. That's all right.
Is that what
that was about? And actually, when you was doing the handover the other night, your colleague said something about sharing yourself on air.
I think I share too much of myself on air. And there has been some stuff that's been going on behind the scenes that I'm not going to say on air.
Of course, yeah.
The stuff I was kind of starting to tell you about when you came up in the lift, but
Goldstein bullying.
No, not Goldstein bullying me. Okay. Not that. That is actually, there's going to be, I can't even talk about that because of the
Tribune.
There has been stuff going on the last week or so that behind the scenes with this show that makes me think perhaps I share too much of myself.
I will share
my thing with you. Yes. Well, I think maybe I need to have a little rethink. A little sit back and a rethink, Daniel.
Because
there are some people out there who take advantage of that.
Yeah, but they might be, in my word, eccentric, but, you know.
It might be, but those eccentrics might.
I think you shouldn't think it. I think you already have overthought everything. That's the problem.
God, you remind me of Mackenzie so much.
I think you really need to stop thinking.
You phrase that.
When you go to sleep at night, are you in silence with the lights off? No, seriously, I'm
why?
Asking a question. I can't. I have to watch a sitcom or something on television. If I'm alone with my thoughts for too long, I'll think myself into some sort of panic attack that I'm terrible at my job, failing as a father. Really bad to bad husband to my wife. These are all things that I will constantly tell myself if something isn't on the television to distract me.
When was the last time you did a long car journey on your own without the radio or a CD on?
No.
Yeah, never. I thought so. I'm just learning to do that now.
I can't do it. And it's a shame as well because at some points I feel like maybe I'm not actually living life, that I'm not really having an experience. I'm experiencing something through an iPad or a television. Yeah. But if all those things go away and I'm just by myself it's something that eventually I'm going to have to get through and push myself through and become a bit more, I don't know what the word is, zen or one with myself.
Or comfortable with yourself.
Yes, that's it. I don't like myself. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't like myself. I hate myself.
Yeah, me too.
I do. I hate myself. I hate myself and have very, very, generally very, very low self-esteem. And I have moments when I realise that that's not actually true. And I see it when I'm with my kids. I see what an important, useful person I am when I'm doing like some proper dadding.
Yeah.
But generally, if I'm on my own, I was going to ask you a question then, and it's gone from my head. What was I going to ask you? It'll come to me in a minute. Line one, go on. You're on the air. Turn the radio off.
Morning.
Good.
He's yours. Go on.
good input. I was worried I was going to slow this the show down.
This fella's blind. You're picking on a blind man.
Oh, no.
Get the son on the line. TV's Jay, in-betweener. He's... Hang on a minute. I can make... Let's see if we can make a pun on Jay, in-betweener's blind man. bus whack, no, that won't work. There'll be something. You talk and I'll come up with something.
Hello, mate, James.
Hello, mate, you alright?
Yeah. You're doing a brilliant
jobbing in between us.
Oh, absolutely, that's really good. Brilliant. Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant, yeah, yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Have you been drinking, Manny?
No.
Obviously, my first question to you is going to be how are you winding me up, Ian? Is this caller blind?
He's blind. It's Manny. He's blind.
How do you get into sort of TV and stuff? This is from somebody that I've never really encountered many blind people, I'm afraid, so I'm really naive and stupid to your situation.
No. I've been blind about 4 years. About 4 years. Yeah, yeah. So you've just got to get used to it. Got to get used to it. You've got to carry on, because, I mean, Ian talks about getting depressed. I really got really, really depressed.
I can imagine.
I tried committing suicide, but I've even failed at that.
Right.
Good.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to carry on. You can't just.
But some people don't carry on, though, Manny. Some people don't.
You can't sit back. You know what I mean? If you sit back, you're gone.
Yeah. You know, I worry if I was in a situation like that. That's when I worry about my character and whether I could cope.
Yeah.
You've got to carry on. You get some people that will just sort of lay back and then let life just sort of, you know, take them away. But my wife and children, they didn't let me do that, you know what I mean?
Good. And you cut down on the boozing, which is good news.
Yeah, I haven't had a drink since January.
Beautiful! There we go, Manny. That's all we're talking about.
Yeah, since January.
What you got for us, Manny?
No, I just want to say hi.
All right, I'm by, simple as that. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Yes, I'd like to call up and criticise, please.
Okay, who would you like to criticise, me, or would you like to criticise James Buckley from The Inbetweeners?
Just the show in general, because I still haven't received my Panama hat.
Your what?
My Panama hat.
Panama hat. That's going to be a reference to something that one of us has said at some point in our lives. Panama hat.
Yeah, just because I was saying, like, last week, how I'm outraged that all the politicians have now got Panama hats because of all their dodgy dealings, and I still don't have a hat.
I tell you what we'll do. Whereabouts do you live?
West Wickham.
Okay, well, James will drop one off on the way home.
Yeah?
Yep, not a problem at all. Line one, then we'll take a break. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello. Hello, Ian, it's Jan.
Hello, Jan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. You're all right?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I wasn't going to phone in, but I heard, I thought it was quite interesting when James Buckley was just saying about being alone with his thoughts.
Yeah.
Because that's something that I always say to people, because I get quite a lot of help for my depression. And that's something that I've always sort of thought, oh, maybe that's just me. So hearing James talk about it, I thought, wow, now that's really interesting. Can he sort of... like when he said, oh, you know, he sleeps, he's always got to have, like, a TV or radio on because he doesn't want to be alone with his thoughts. And I thought, wow, that's just so me.
Yeah.
Does he suffer with depression? I mean, I've only just started listening in, to be honest.
And I'm told James he can bail out of any question he wants to at any point. So I'm I'm just flagging that up in case he wants to bail out of that question.
I'd been diagnosed with depression once in my life, in my early 20s.
Mm.
I don't think I actually suffer from depression. I think I maybe have done a little dance with depression at some point.
Yeah, a little flirtation.
I think in my case, what had actually happened was that my best friend died, and we were like in our early 20s, so that was like a shock for me because you're not supposed to die then. And I felt really sorry for myself for a while, but then. Less than a year afterwards, I met my wife, and it's that sort of. I don't know. I fell in
love.
And I've never had to sort of worry about that sort of thing again. But I do. But I do get myself into an anxiety state through being by myself and worrying about how I'm performing, how I'm doing in life.
Is it all about that?
That's really it. It's not about anything specifically. I'm not worried about anything specific. I'm not worried about my kids, anything happening to my kids because they're in a very safe, loving, strong family household. I'm not worried about anything like that. I'm purely worried about how I'm doing and if I'm performing up to the standard that I should be with life in general.
Mm. About in a work situation, you're not thinking of
it's that as
how
well.
Well you perform as an actor.
It's all of that.
I also thought what was really interesting is when you said about you feel that you live your life as a character.
I don't think I said that.
I said that I worry that maybe
sometimes I'm too into gadgets and things that sort of dilute the experience of life that we should all be having and should all be sharing. Sometimes I feel like I'm living life through someone's Instagram. I'm living their life through a picture they've taken.
Dan, I've got to interrupt because I'm so late for a break. And if Id had hair, he would be pulling it out. Instead, he's drawing hair on. Dan, listen, it's nice, excellent stuff. Thank you for listening and thanks for calling in. I'm just going to press the cut off button now. 0844 499 1000.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Tell you later on. Yasser's enjoying the show, but he wants to know what is it with the facial hair. I think he's jealous that we can grow beards.
I tell you what, this is a beard that's just been trimmed as well. When I went,
got clippers?
I got some
fun.
I got some wiles.
But I slipped and the thing came off. And that's why I got a little bald patch there. That's and nice. I've shaved too high under the Adam's apple, a bit too high.
No, it's cool. It's trendy.
Thanks,
isn't
man.
It?
Thanks. I didn't notice.
No, I spent a couple of months on my own, away from my family, trying to get work in Los Angeles. And so
how did that go?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm just sort of quite self-sabotaging and snooty. Like I can understand. I will get a criticism saying, "When are you going to do some more stuff?"
Yeah.
But I'm just so stubborn.
I'm just sort of.
Hello. Turn your radio off, Dennis.
And snooty.
Okay.
Dennis is 90.
Right.
I took him to see Fifty Shades of Grey.
I'm telling people how old I am.
He's going to be 91 in May. I've got a tenner, he won't make it.
Nice.
Even you were disgusted by that.
But you're not going to ever win that bet.
If he doesn't make it, I'm going to the funeral. Hang on, what are you banging on about, boss?
I said, these people, I'm sorry them being depressed. The only thing that depresses me, when somebody promises something, then doesn't come through.
All right.
He's having a pop
you
at me.
You promised me a disc of you doing this celebrity doofer on a Friday.
Celebrity
Saturday
doofer.
Night,
celebrity doofer. That's all right. No, it was celebrity, what was it? Bing Bang Bong. What's the programme? Pointless.
Right.
And, I will do it next week, Dennis. But things are a bit busy at the moment.
Busy? Doing what?
I win. Me and Cheggers won it.
Yeah,
that's all you need to know.
You're busy. You're doing nothing but listen to other people talk.
Well, I'll do it during the show, shall I, Dennis?
Yeah, but I know.
Did you? What was your? Who's your favourite character in the In Betweeners?
In Betweeners? Don't know the programme.
Mm. You've not seen it when he's at they're in their car and there's people waiting at a bus stop and they shout stuff at the people at the bus.
It's highbrow.
Not seen that?
No, I've not seen that one.
Plunge,
no.
No.
I don't get out much.
You've not been to see the bit when they go on the one of the films where they're on a boat.
Incidentally, I see one of
and he's got
nice
a £10 note up his bum. That was
Fifty Shades of Grey on.
Sorry?
I've seen that during this week on telly, they've got 50 Shades of Grey on.
Do we need to come round and give you a hand?
Terrible film. What a waste. I'm sorry you had to waste the money watching that.
It's, well, you, I'm sorry you did as well.
It was great. That was a lot of bloody rubbish.
All right, Dennis. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta. Line two, you're on the wireless. Oh, then they bottled it. That's fine. So some people, what is interesting is some people will phone up
right.
just to see if it works, and then they put the phone down and they don't want to have any part in that. Right. I'll wait 444-499-1000. Do you worry? The in between is a massive, like you could probably describe it as a phenomenon.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think no, you could. So you might not be able to see it from the inside, but from the outside, it was definitely a phenomenon, and the fact that two. Movies, I say movies over films, were made of a British,
independent film.
Yeah, but they were massive successes. Yeah, massive, right?
Big numbers.
It's definitely a phenomenon. Do you worry? How old are you, 28, 29?
28.
Are you sure? You want to check?
My wife would tell me. I cannot remember whether I'm 28
we'll
or 29.
We'll mention Seaworld in a bit as well. Yeah. Just to keep your wife happy. She sounds like a delightful lady. But do you worry, at 28, having been involved in a phenomenon, and maybe you don't, so you can tell me to jog on,
yeah.
that you're going to struggle to top that, or you're going to be living in that shadow, or that you're in competition with the other three blokes in it, or is there any of that?
No, I think I set my own standards.
Yeah.
And... even though I was in the in-betweeners, I just quite liked it.
Yeah.
And so now I want to do stuff that I feel personally that loads of people might not. I feel is as good or better than the in-betweeners. And that's just how
that's
I judge something.
That's going to be tough, though.
Yeah, it is. Because yeah.
those were brilliant
it is,
scripts.
It is, and it's died down a bit now because your cachet goes up and down. Like yeah. you know, like in this yeah, business. Yeah. But obviously, when the films come out, you then get everything. Every script comes to you first.
Yeah.
Like if there's a sitcom, come to you first. And I said no to everything.
Really.
Because I didn't like it. And look at television. Like, this isn't me being arrogant, because anyone that's listened to this show will know that I have a very low opinion of myself. But I'm saying I do have a low opinion, and yeah. people aren't reaching that.
Yeah.
On like especially with television at the moment, I'm not sure what's on TV right now that makes me laugh and that I love comedy.
I don't watch telly. I've given up on American series because they always let me down in the end. And I can't think of the last. I tell you something I discovered recently. And this is so old. It's not old. It's about 5 years old. Have you seen Limmy? Limmy's show.
No.
He's this Scottish comedian, man. It's flipping. The first series is on Netflix, right? He's going to come on the show in June. It's about 5-6 years old. BBC Scotland. And it's flipping hilarious. It's really, really dark. It's like a sketch show.
Right. My wife probably would have... She's Scottish, my wife.
It's, well, she must...
She
must
got me into Still Game and stuff like that.
Oh, well, then I would check this out, right? It's really dark. Give it a bit. It's like... It's the closest thing I've seen to, like, a LSD in a TV show. It's really dark, okay. And it's really sombre, and it's... I was obsessed with it. I did like three series in a week. I was, but I can't think of any modern programmes that made me laugh. But maybe it's because I'm an old fart, and they're not aimed at 42-year-old, middle-aged men. You know, they're aimed at younger people.
I don't know. I think
we're both a bit windy pops. It's fine.
It's maybe different with women, but I think the guy's sense of humour is fully developed at about 11.
Yeah,
I used to love
the fact that when I was doing the 11 o'clock show and doing this, we get like 10, 11, 12 year olds phoning up, and doing the 11 o'clock show, we would get letters from boys 14, 15, 16 years old, and some of the people I worked with would sneer at that, and I go, no, I know what it felt like to be a 14 year old boy and to have discovered my show. That was my show. Me and my mates used to watch, and we were obsessed with it, and we could quote it and stuff like that. And so the fact that a 14-year-old boy would find something that I was doing, I mean, it was all knob gags and stuff like that, a lot of it. But the fact that a 14-year-old boy would find what I was doing funny and subversive and naughty. I loved all of that.
Yeah.
I loved all of that. Anyway, listen, we've got another break. 0844 499 1000.
Late Night Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
It's the last 30 minutes of the show. James Buckley is here. You've had it too easy, I think, this evening.
Yeah.
I want guys. Let's phone up and let's show him what we've got. Let's get out our guns. Not literally. I'm not in any way condoning violence against you.
No,
that would be terrible. But let's basically what I'm saying is phone up. Is kind of what I'm saying. 0844 499 1000. 7 pence a minute access charge. More from mobiles, but you know you'll come straight through. Is this what you imagine it to be like?
I thought there would be more drunk people on the phone.
Yeah. Well, here comes one now. Line one. You're on the wireless.
Hello. Yo. I suddenly I'm really nervous. Then.
Oh.
Don't be nervous.
Yeah. Well, I've never called in before, and I was watching, and I thought, wow, I'll give it a try.
You give it a try. What you got for us? Sock it with your best punch.
I was just listening to when you were talking about the 11 o'clock show and stuff, and I wondered if you thought there was ever a kind of room for that these days, really.
Every 5 years, 3 or 4 or 5 years, there will be a story. ITV4 to launch new 11 o'clock show. Channel 4 did it with Tonightly and a couple of other things. The thing is, we were so naughty, and they changed so many broadcasting rules as a direct result of the 11 o'clock show and what I did out on the streets and what Sasha did as Ali G. You can't do that stuff anymore. You can't mislead people when you go and interview
also,
them.
There's a culture nowadays where for some reason it's cool to be offended.
Yeah.
Well, since when?
Yeah.
Since when has it been cool to be so uptight and offended about everything? But that's the culture. It's like, you don't have to joke about
anything. Everywhere is scared. The BBC are scared to... Well, I nearly saw then. BBC is scared to do anything. I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what shows Channel 4 do anymore. It isn't aimed at me. So I don't know.
Yeah, the people that was involved with the in-betweeners have left Channel 4 and they're at the BBC now. Shane Allen's at the BBC.
Shane Allen's there at the BBC, is he? Oh, blimey. Right. But they would never put on a show like the in-betweeners. That would never happen at the BBC.
I don't know. I don't think the in-betweeners particularly... I think it's quite safe, isn't it? The
in-betweeners. Oh, you're joking, aren't you? It's filth.
Yeah, it's just... it's disgusting, but it's not...
They wouldn't put that on the BBC.
No.
Prove me wrong.
Well, BBC.
So there's an exclusive. Sell that to the papers. In-betweeners is coming back on BBC. Excellent.
But, I mean, because there doesn't really seem to be anything that kind of reflects... culture really now, does it? I mean, like you're saying, I think TV shows are kind of scared to go there now, and it just seems very middle of the road and quite kind of dull, really.
Well, there's the internet, there's YouTube.
Oh yeah, PornTube.
So
Pornhub.
Pornhub. That wasn't the point I was making.
I'm so sorry, James. I must have.
I was calling out to your listeners to say, put something on YouTube. Do something like the 11 o'clock show. Make it your own thing. Anyone can have
but
a channel
now. But
then
it's monetizing it. No one. I mean, apart from Zoella, is that her name? Zoella?
I think so.
Apart from Zoella, no one's making money on the internet.
You're having a laugh, aren't you?
Shut up! What are you?
You're having a laugh.
Who's making money on the internet?
Loads of people are making
money.
Name
five. Name 25.
Well, that Yanomai's guy. He gets a revenue just through the videos that he makes of the cars that he's working on.
Shut up.
On YouTube. Yeah,
he's going to turn my Volkswagen Polo into the Knight Rider.
He'd be able to do that. He's got his man Barry, who's a wizard.
But here's the thing, right? Everybody wants, and I've been guilty of calling in a few favours like this. But whenever I get people to do work, you know, even if I'm not making money on a project, I will try and pay people. But everyone wants, thank you for that, brother. Everyone wants people to do stuff for free now. Why would I do this? Well, it's great publicity for you.
You'll get if people watch what you put on YouTube, you will get paid for it.
You'll get paid for that.
No, but you will. If you're that was the thing with the whole Russell Brand thing.
Yeah.
So he was like, I'm just doing this YouTube thing now.
He's Russell Brand. He's got a cachet.
Exactly. So the irony was that he was getting paid an absolute fortune for all those views he was getting on YouTube. And he's a hero of mine and everything, and I think he's an incredibly funny man.
But he's got an audience. Joe Schmo from Kokomo isn't going to...
But you I don't know how, but if you do something...
Here we go.
I don't know how, but if you do something good enough... If I had an idea... I'd put it on YouTube.
I know for a fact that talent doesn't always win out. That bland people do really, 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 really well. I've seen bland people make millions of pounds. I've seen the most talented people get nothing, nowhere.
That's what I'm judging it on. People doing that have Vine accounts and things like that.
Yeah. Why did you wiggle?
I was just thinking.
Hang on. Line two, you're on the wireless. You can join in any moment.
Sorry, I'm talking too much.
Hello, Ricky. Welcome back. What's your... Cosby's, of course. Let's have a look.
This is me, I think, phoning up.
I wouldn't go with them.
One of those phone-in premium rate TV shows.
Party!
Okay, no, it's not. We'll let him finish. I used to phone up when I...
Well, those sort of Russian roulette... Not Russian roulette, just roulette.
I used to phone
normal
up
roulette.
When I finished this relationship for... Is that man? Well, that's someone live in. It sounds like a war zone. What the hell? Yeah. Line two.
Hello, you right? It's Sam again.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry about earlier on for cheating on the thing, but anyway, as you know, I make YouTube videos, and I want to just back up your point. I get paid for my videos. I get a very small amount of money because I get like 100 views per video, but still. There's so many YouTubers in the UK and worldwide that get paid ridiculous amounts of money. And also, I just want to like take a sort of point to the team. Zoella isn't the only YouTuber who makes money for her videos. She is, anyway, I don't want to get into that. But yeah, my point is that YouTube is more than just her. If that makes sense. I don't know. But yeah.
He's basically destroyed you there, Buckley.
No, he was backing up my point. He gets paid.
Thank you, Sam.
He makes YouTube videos and gets paid for it.
Thank you, Sam.
But I think he was upset with that, with a YouTuber that you mentioned.
Totally destroyed. I mean, if I'm honest, I wasn't listening. I'm reading an email.
It's clear that you weren't listening. Well, I'm reading your reaction to it
from someone who who was on the show yesterday. I won't go into it.
Okay.
Thank you, honey. But that point you make is your opinion, but also it's factually incorrect. Do we need to read this? It's a horrible, it's a dark sentence.
See, this is why I'm glad I'm here. Because if I wasn't here now, you probably would move on from this email.
Do you want me to read this?
Yes, I want you to read the email, please.
You want me to read it once I've read it?
Okay.
Hello, Ian. I wanted to email you for making my first experience of calling your show a pleasurable one. I was very nervous to mention my topic of conversation, child abuse by the Catholic Church. But you made me feel completely at ease and non-judged. Here's the thing I disagree with. When I finished my call, you went on to talk about sex abuse, and although it was abuse, some people enjoyed it as they were being touched intimately. It's not exactly what I said. I can assure you that in no way is it possible for a child to enjoy something being forced on them.
Yeah.
I can understand that some teenagers are quite happy to part their legs, then cry that they are abused, but there is a line between child and adolescent. The point, you've totally misunderstood the point I made, honey. The point I made... And I've spoken to therapists and people who've survived child sexual abuse. Is that that? God, I don't want to go in this point again. I know I get trouble for this.
Yeah, no, you were right.
You sure?
Yeah.
But the point I was making was that at the point of sexual climax in abuse, sometimes the victims of that abuse will feel pleasure, and then they feel guilty because they're feeling the pleasure. But it's natural to feel pleasure when you reach a sexual climax. Again, I've got into muddy water.
Yeah.
Let's hope that line one can save us from that. Yes, line one. Hello? No, they're not there. Let's have a quick break and then we'll come back.
uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'm on Netflix, and I've got to cancel my Amazon Prime soon. Right?
Why?
Because it's rubbish.
Yeah, but do you how often do you order from Amazon?
Very often, but I can wait 3 days.
Oh, okay.
But here's the thing, guys. When Amazon Prime don't deliver the next day, as they often don't, phone up, kick off. Do you know what you get?
What?
Free month of Amazon Prime. I've had eight free months of that. Seriously. And it runs out next month, and then I'm going to cancel it. Let me just quickly see if this works. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello, it's Pablo here.
Hello, Pablo.
How do? I just wanted to say how much I'm enjoying you and James, you know, the radio talking about, important and unimportant things in equal measure. And just think having the radio station is an excellent platform, and especially in regards to male mental health and the like, it's not often referenced, and it's a big issue for, you know, the kind of age group.
Well, it seems to, this show seems to have become kind of a place where people can phone in and say that they're feeling, you know, rubbish, or they're feeling good, or they, you know, which I'm very, very happy with. I'm very comfortable with that. I'm happy to have a little bit of that, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's grand, and especially, you know, obviously you yourself have been quite public with your issues in the past.
I think I'm too public about it sometimes. But that's...
No, I think it's one of those things, I think, which, you know, obviously I don't envy your situation having it in public, but I think, like you've found tonight, and especially with James not necessarily mentioning this in the past and just coming in passing, just that these kind of things are important, and it's good for people out there who essentially something like depression or I can really isolate somebody to the point where they feel like they're, you know, they're worse off not being about and the like. And to hear other people talking about it, and not only other people, but two, you know, essentially random people in the radio station who have similar thoughts in their head, which they wouldn't know by unless they speak it out loud. And I think there's a lot of people probably in there, you know, on the low ebbs or what have you, could hear something like that, and it could be really beneficial to them.
I don't know enough about enough.
There's another one. I've never done that with the GH gone for a th. I've never done that one.
I think it's because this is way past my bedtime now.
Yeah, it's very late. And also, we're very slowly, you won't have noticed this, we are pumping very, very powerful drugs in through the air vents, and we're all just
like casinos.
Exactly.
No, not like it's oxygen, isn't it? Anyway, that's another thing.
They hold back some of the oxygen in casinos, so you feel a little bit elated and a bit high.
Oh, I thought they pumped it more of oxygen.
They pump less of oxygen.
Oh, okay.
So you feel a little bit high, so you just want to bet more and more and more. Okay. That's why, and this is a fact, Pablo. There are more fatalities. Suffocation. Oh, I've done this wrong. Where are the most places of suffocation in the world?
Well, I'm going to say Vegas now, after what you just said.
Yeah, in casinos in Vegas.
I was going to say a casino or something now. I kind of
ruined it a little bit.
Yeah.
I went the wrong way around. But, yeah. Pablo, listen, I just want to, because we're getting some calls now, so I don't want to waste them. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian. Hi, James.
Hello.
Hiya. I was just going to... Phone up. I'm first time caller, fan of both of you for years.
Who are you fan of the most, though? Who are you the fan of the most? And let's not beat around the bush. It's me versus Buckley here. Lee versus Buckley. Buckley Lee. Who is the greatest?
I've never disagreed with James Buckley. I often disagree with you.
Bumlick.
Yeah. I've known you the longest, so I think that you probably win.
Oh, that was an interesting turnaround there. That's like Simon Cowell going, that has got to be best thing I've ever seen in my life. You're through to boot camp.
Yeah. Chris Tarrant invented that.
He did, didn't he, with his breakfast show. When he go, we're going to come back from a break in a minute.
No, I'm thinking more of who wants to be a millionaire. And he'd, right, be, right, and he'd do his thing. Well, we're not going to give you that.
Strange man.
He is.
Chris Tarrant.
Chris Tarrant is a strange... You don't see him so often these days, which can only be a good thing for humankind.
Tarrant on TV was good.
Tarrant on TV. Oh, shut up. That was just a rip-off of Clive James on TV.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, what would you like to say?
Being the mother of an older teenage son,
Yeah. Both of you have kind of helped me raise my son, I'd like to consider.
Well, have you been getting those monthly payments that I've been sending?
Thank you very much.
Good.
I'll see you in court.
Yes. How have we helped raise your son?
Well, the in-betweeners, first of all, first came out when my son was around 10 years old.
Yeah.
So I watched it as a young adult.
As an instruction manual. Thought
that I would only... Exactly.
Are you nodding? I've heard this before. It's a known phenomenon, yeah.
It's just young... We're like boys Super Nanny. Saying filthy things. So, like, it is a bit... It's like a creche for teenagers.
Has your mum ever caught you...
No, not at all. Oh my god, I'd be mortified.
Well, I think watching the in-betweeners has stopped me from ever finding my son doing anything that I might be offended or upset by.
You've never caught him.
What do you mean? You won't catch him, or you won't be offended when you catch him?
Have you caught him? How offended were you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Did you say, "Oh, this is like an episode of the in-betweeners"?
Oh, you're so crazy. When you finish, I'll make you a sandwich downstairs. Yeah. Come on.
Oh, please, no.
Okay.
No.
The episode where Jay gets caught by his mum is always...
Okay, it's can I just say this? It's 10 to 1. He's doing it right now.
No, he isn't. He's revising for his maths, sale.
Oh, no,
yeah,
he's
that's
not.
What he's...
No, he's not.
Oh, bless him. Oh, he's going to hate you.
Don't knock on his door.
Well, no, do knock on his door and give it 3 minutes.
And do you know what? From 10 o'clock every night, he just sees me walking around the house with my headphones in, laughing.
Wow.
And then sometimes I might put on the podcast the next day. So tomorrow, it's probably one that I won't replay back to him.
No, I think it's best that you don't.
With him having his exam.
Imagine if you... Was he 15, 16?
17.
Imagine when you were 17, find out your mum had been on the national radio
talking about you
masturbating.
I know. Yeah.
No.
Oh, God, please, imagine that. Do you want me to cut you off?
Yes, please.
Okay, imagine the embarrassment you'd be thinking. Yeah, oh, mum!
Emancipation, or whatever it's called, isn't it? You take your parents to court
and divorce your parents. God, you'd be mortified. I mean, my mum caught me once.
Oh, Jesus.
Cheeky lunchtime.
Yeah, and the daytime. Yeah,
it was the weekend. It was the daytime. There's something good on telly. I thought, I'm going to watch this upstairs. And anyway, I won't go into detail, but I had to hop across the room. I hopped across the room. That's terrible. Anyway, that's by the by. My sister's listening. So I'm on Netflix, and the Netflix send you emails, right? There's new stuff, new movies we've got.
Yeah.
Well, then the email they send, we've just added a film you might like. It's that Three Ninjas Kickback from 1994. Now,
when was that email sent? Because I'm on Netflix.
That email was sent yesterday at 1:24.
I bet.
Oh wait, 4449910.
I've got the exact same email. So I don't think they're personalised.
Three Ninjas. The Three Ninjas return to defend their grandfather from a trio of dim-witted thugs who are out to reclaim a championship dagger. Oh, 1994 movie.
I got Malficient yesterday.
Oh, what's that?
It's the Angelina Jolie.
Oh, for crying out! Do you watch kids' films on your account?
No, my kids have. Well, it's on my account, but they have their own profile.
Yeah, yeah. I had to reset my profile in the end because they were all watching like Horrid Henry and Dennis the Menace and all that rubbish on my thing. So it'd be you might like this, and it's just recommending like rubbish.
Yeah.
So I then deleted that profile, and I've now got. I keep saying, boys, do not touch Daddy's profile. Also, because you know.
What's on Netflix? That's a bit...
A documentary after porn ends.
Oh, I've not seen that one.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm not interested in when porn ends.
There's no ending. There's no end in sight. 0844 499 1000. We'll take calls straight to air. We're coming towards the end of the show.
I know, it's a shame.
Well, you say that. I think radio as a whole is breathing a sigh of relief. What I suppose I should ask you this, and this is because I'm genuinely interested, and this isn't me doing the interviewer's question, but what have you got? Are you working?
I've got stuff. It's boring, though.
Is it boring?
Yeah.
Well, fine, don't tell me then.
It's boring to me. I'll tell you what is exciting. I've got a Judd Apatow film that I did that's coming out.
Come on, mate.
Next month.
That's not boring.
No, that is exciting. It was good. I mean,
is it a funny one or one of
his
stinkers?
It's really good. It's really, really funny. It's got amazing people in it. I'd love the dream is that people go and watch it, yeah, like in America, and they go, who is the little British guy?
Who's this crazy guy?
He's funny.
Awesome.
But the cast is, like, really strong. And I'm not, like, in America, I'm an unknown.
Yeah.
And there's a few unknowns in the film, and they're all just on point.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm going to be a standout performer. But that's good. I've written a film as well that Fox are buying off of me.
Now you're saying how is that boring? Just take a second.
But I don't think people are impressed with that.
No, but you're impressed with it, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Good, because I said take a second and step back and look at 28-year-old you with a movie that Fox are interested
in.
Yeah,
it's going to be, it's a big...
What is it, rom-com?
It's a
romantic comedy.
Action comedy.
Oh.
And it's going to have...
Vin Diesel? The Rock? The Rock.
Might have The Rock.
Is it going to have The Rock in it?
No, I don't know.
Flipping it. Is it based on Grimsby?
It's based on...
Talking to the microphone.
Based on Scarface. It's supposed to be...
Say hello to my little friend.
Yeah, it's going to be sort of a gangster spoof.
Yeah.
But it's going to be cool. And it's going to look like Michael Bay has directed it. And the main thing I want is a speedboat to crash into a helicopter.
Yeah.
Because I thought that would be funny.
That's the budget.
Yeah.
That's the budget. I'll be in it. Yeah, of course we'll.
Yeah.
I'm saving you the embarrassment of asking me.
No, thank you.
I'm just going to say it. Yeah, I'll do it. Good. Of course we'll.
I might not be in it.
I'll do your bit.
I had planned to be in it, but
they're saying they don't want you.
Well, there's a sizable budget they're talking about. It's all very early stages at the moment. Nothing's signed on the dotted line. So obviously there's a conversation that needs to be had where they go, this movie's costing a lot of money. I think we're going to want someone.
What music are you listening to?
What music? Well, actually, I started listening. The last album I downloaded was the Zombies.
Odyssey and Oracle.
Yes.
What did you reckon? Do you like it?
Yeah, great.
It's
good,
absolutely
isn't it? Brilliant. I don't know why I hadn't heard it before, because it's completely in the genre and the era that I'm totally into. But yeah,
I missed it. I don't know how I missed that. You're aware of Forever Changes, of course. Oh, hello, Forever Changes by Love.
No.
Have that one on me. Have that one on me.
That's the next
Prepare
one.
To have... Because you like your 60s stuff.
I do, yeah.
Forever Changes by Love.
Okay.
You got my number. You text me later on. You say thank you, Ian. Yes.
I'll listen to that on the way home.
That will sort you out.
There's a couple of things we don't see eye to eye on musically that I know...
Oh, go on then. Let's have it out in the last
three Doors.
Minutes. Yeah, they suck.
They're brilliant.
I'm the Lizard King. Yeah, you know, you're a fat drunk... Go and get back in the
love,
bath.
Love.
Oh, he's ridiculous. He's got my mojo. His name's an anagram of Mojo Rising.
There you go. It's clever, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's stupid.
Did that not blow your mind when
you heard
that?
No, it didn't blow my mind. I just thought,
if it wasn't for Jim Morrison, I wouldn't have learned what an anagram was.
There we go. If it wasn't for Jim Morrison, I wouldn't have learned what a talentless, dirty hack he was.
No, what's brilliant? Amazing voice.
The best song.
Incredible voice.
The best song is Touch Me.
It's a great song. It's a brilliant song.
Stronger Than Dirt. That's what he says at the end
of it. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, but
you've done an episode on that in the past.
He sings Stronger Than Dirt. Do you know what that's from?
No.
You don't even know anything
no,
about the
I
Doors.
Don't know.
It's that was a jingle in a soap commercial at the time.
Oh, okay.
So they were that was him being subversive.
Yeah.
See, so you claim to like
the music's brilliant. The whole it's the same thing as Kate Bush with me. I think they're just a bit different because I had a jazz guitarist.
Yeah.
Didn't have a bassist and some bloke.
But you
on
like
keyboard
so you,
and,
do you? I mean, would you say you love Bush?
Who doesn't? Yeah, I love Bush. Yeah.
Okay, I never saw the attraction in Bush. Personally,
love a bit of Kate,
but the Doors are ridiculous. The Doors are silly. What else do you like that is rubbish?
there are.
You should have said that. First thing when the mic's on. I'm going to stop you here, Ian. I think the Doors are really good. The whole show would have had a completely different tone to it. Would have been a lot darker.
No, I wanted to get you in the last minute. I just wanted to bring that up. A little bone to pick. The Doors are great. The Doors are really, really good. The story's incredible and so cool. And,
The story's cool. They all took loads of drugs in the desert, man.
Yeah.
He had an Indian spirit guy. So you know who else has got an Indian spirit guy, don't you? Derek Acora. I've got Sam. I wonder if it was Sam that was also Jim Morrison's...
But Jim Morrison drove past those Indians that got hit by a car when he was a kid. And that's why he had the ghosts says, went into him.
He says he went past that. I don't believe anything. The man wore the same pair of leather trousers for 3 years and did not take them off. And that's a fact.
Yeah. I know. That's something I aspire to.
Well, it's,
my personal hygiene.
It's shame that it's had to end like this. My sister's asking if I've watched Finders Keepers. I think I've seen that. That's a horror film. Anyway, I think I've seen that. Anyway, right. It's been very nice to meet you, boss.
Thank you so much for coming in.
That's it. That's your lot. There'll be a podcast. You'll be in the podcast, by the way.
Brilliant.
We own you now. Back tonight at 10 o'clock. Until then, from me, Kath, James and Iz. Ta-ta.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.